This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Welcome to the party.
Coming up next, it looks like a potential predator party.
Howdy, welcome.
That sounds high.
Wow.
Well, we actually have no grand opening tape today, so...
No pageantry?
No, well, we do a bit of a tapestry, maybe just a minute, 90 seconds tops.
Uh-huh.
Spotlight on. Hey, look, the big-headed boy that just walked in the room.
Hi there.
We're just filing through some tapes we'll never play again.
This is for him.
I mean, if I made another dessert, we could eat the pies tomorrow, couldn't we?
Don't you like pie?
Well, I love pie. I just wanted to cook something for Robbie. Something special.
Like what?
Custard.
Custard? For Robbie?
Well, I'll clean up afterwards.
Robbie hates custard.
Well, you must be thinking of one of the other boys. Robbie loves custard.
I'm thinking of the Robbie with the blue eyes and the light brown hair who just came back from a honeymoon. That one hates custard.
Well, I'll make it. You just wait and see.
Custard.
See, that's what we
not will. Custard. Custard.
We'll never play that one again.
You can do it without.
How about this one?
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
I think we have to keep that.
Was that Rob A. at FedEx Field?
Yeah. Not on the microphone. I was just standing.
You got to keep that one.
Just shouting.
There's two more. This one I think we'll keep as well. It's kind of a Rob A. classic.
The rush to escape the city is on, and motorists race to beat the tangle of traffic found around the Bay Bridge at the start of every Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, it's okay until you hit this stinking bridge.
Grayhead.
8 lanes and you still gotta wait.
Toll booths look like starting lines as city residents make their way towards sun and surf.
We're going to do it!
Some motorists say heading out a little early paid off.
It's usually in Annapolis, you can't get through there after
wait
about
for Rob.
4 o'clock. So we thought if we hit a little
wearing early, his uniform.
We'd make it without
wait
getting too much traffic, it looks okay.
And local radio personalities Don and Mike sent an emissary to provide motorists with a little entertainment.
Look at me, I'm Robbie. Happy Memorial Day, man.
It's still a classic.
Have a good one. Enjoy the traffic.
As far as the bridge is concerned, anyway.
Out there, his brawn, his big afro wig.
Oh, man, that was his greatest moment ever.
Oh, the scrapbook.
All right, I agree.
There was one more with your name on it back there. All right, so one out of the three does not make it. Let's see if this one does. Then we'll start the show.
Welcome to a new season of Redskins football. Today's game features the Carolina Panthers versus your Washington Redskins.
Let me just stop and say we're keeping this one absolutely.
Where's the one where he, Big Daddy Dan Wilkerson?
His voice
Mike,
cracked.
I don't know. He's got like 8 million of them back there.
Rob, do you know where that one is?
I can look. I hope nothing happens.
I grabbed a handful.
And now, for your entertainment, we introduce a group that has become a Washington institution. Celebrating their 61st year of entertaining the fans of D.C.
Such a funny guy, isn't he?
That's great.
He was the PA guy for the Washington Redskins.
And he took it up the A for the Washington Redskins.
He did.
Poor guy.
Didn't even get tickets out of the deal, right?
No. Drove out there.
Didn't get tickets.
They gave him a parking pass, and they kicked his ass.
Parking pass is worth a lot.
They kicked his ass out as soon as kickoff.
He couldn't stay for the game?
No.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Ouch.
You couldn't stay for the game?
Well, there wasn't always a parking pass.
Oh, you had to earn that.
That came later. There was usually cash parking. I would stay for the game occasionally, but it was sort of a dicey proposition because I really had no place to really be.
No seat. Oh, you didn't have a seat?
No.
So no ticket?
No. You could go up and, you know, visit in the WJFK booth until Sonny thought it was getting too crowded, and then you had to leave there.
But it was funny seeing your big head on the Jumbotron.
You know, yeah. I do miss it about 1 week a year.
I got a chance to see that once going to a game with you. You said there, look down, and they had the camera jammed down on him.
All right, here we go.
Please welcome famous Washington Redskins marching band.
The best.
Do you have your Big Daddy tape?
The Washington Redskins marching band. And now let's hear it again for the Washington Redskinettes.
No longer called that.
All right, I think we should keep that tape, right?
They're not the Redskinettes anymore?
No, they're the Washington Redskins cheerleaders.
Ah. You make more money
when
like
the hell
that,
did
Mike.
They? When did they change that?
Didn't get the memo.
About 4 years ago.
Around the time you figured that you could make more money.
Mm-hmm. How do you make more money on it?
I don't know.
All right. There must be a way.
But you change the name. Here's the thing with Dan Snyder. Even if it's working, change it.
Right.
Just change it.
And fire somebody when you do.
All right. Well, Robbie, you got nothing? You got your tape?
I've come up dry, Don.
That's it.
So we don't have the tape of you introducing Big Daddy Dan Wilkerson?
Wilkerson, yeah.
I can't find it as of yet.
All right. That's it. There's your opening today.
I liked it.
There
tis. I think it was a fitting tribute.
All right. Well, one of the tapes can go off to the glue factory.
Yeah. Yeah. We did some editing there.
The custard tape.
Yeah. We've done some good here.
Robbie
today.
Doesn't like custard.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ah, but we know he does like custard.
Hello.
He likes it a lot.
Well, you know, if you ever need Uncle Charlie, I'm here if you need me.
Welcome to the party, everybody.
Coming up next, it looks like a potential predator party.
Yes, I just finished a feature movie called Cage. It's an action-adventure film dealing with a soldier who gets shot in the head and becomes mentally deficient. That should be out in January. And also a comedy with Sally Kellerman and George Segal. That'll be out in a month.
All right, thank you, Lou Furick. Now,
I like her very much, this lady. Whoa, 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 whoa. I look on her sometimes and imagine her with no clothes.
Let's hear it. Just found in the archive.
In the archive.
At defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
I love that. If we then want to get out, we turn the music down a little bit. Just from as you hear it with the ambiance, the stadium ambiance.
At defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson!
Oh, that's nice.
Rod, stop that. It's silly. Very silly indeed.
That is very silly.
A lot of perverts in here.
Oh. Wow. Some real oldies but goodies here.
Why today? Men's rooms?
Hey, how you doing?
I am old.
A lot of perverts in here.
Oh, boy.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, man, you guys should come down and have a meal, man. I had Spam, and I had baby limas, and I had German potato salad, and...
Oh, wow.
...flash tomato.
Something stinks like stale French fries.
I'm having the phone number here.
Let's pick up the phone, and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style.
Yeah.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel, right? The ultimate CEO?
Yes.
Biggest celebrity of them all? Who's down with G-O-D?
I am the truth.
Hi. Oh, wow.
We take Jesus and we wrap him around our reproductive organs.
Yeah. Hey.
And it's Jesus who's speaking to us to take his healing gospel to this generation and to do it now.
Do it now.
Now.
Mother grabbing Beth.
Looks like baby vomit.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Here we come.
Well... My nails grow long. All the women are jealous of my fingernails.
Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
All right, well, thank you, Big Ed. All right, hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
Is everybody happy?
Hope so.
Welcome back to the show.
Howdy, little brains, Don and Mike show, and it's SHI Thursday.
Wow, it has been a quick week.
Sure has.
You know, spell those letters. You know, number two. SHI Thursday phone number, same as it was during our last meeting. 877-365-3636.
During our last conclave.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you?
Hey, very well, thank you.
Good. It sounded like Robbie was being pushed out of the booth as he was making the announcement for Big Daddy Wilkinson.
That's actually what happened to him. He was
falling.
You know, he was being, you know, actually hurtling towards his death.
He was pushing his voice. God, he would stand on the sidelines and scream.
He commits.
Well, I mean, but I think even Robbie, you had a little vocal issue that day, right?
It was a perfect storm.
Right.
It was allergies, but also it was a Monday night game, and it's the loudest I'd ever heard the stadium, and
okay.
I honestly could not hear myself.
So you couldn't? You were trying to yell over the
trying
stadium.
To hear myself. I've since given up on that.
Mm. But you know what I like is the perseverance that you stay with it. You didn't stop. You didn't clear your throat. You didn't. I mean, you stuck with it.
You commit.
What I should have done is said, "Excuse me, you're all going to have to settle down."
Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
Radio gods, you all are awesome, man.
Thank you. Yes, we are. What's happening?
Hey, I'm curious about that werewolf movie thing. I'm trying to find out where that is because I just think that's the most funniest sound thing I've ever heard.
Oh, the werewolf? You mean the tapes that we play?
Yeah.
Trainables.
Those guys, if you go in, just go into the viral video section of our website.
All right, dude. Thank you, man.
DonandMikeWebsite.com. Right.
That's a good way to start the show with just a guy that likes something we did on the show.
It's in there somewhere. I'm not sure exactly. It's something like Targe reading poetry.
The whole, I think they're doing a horror movie, right? Yeah. They're doing a scary movie.
Yeah.
And the one's a vampire. And when you play the
that's
whole tape.
That's what it is. Targe reading vampire.
It's even funnier with the whole tape. It's great.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Yes, it is.
Hey, I was wondering, I think it was either last night or tonight, Larry King interview with Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yes, you're right. It's tonight. We're all looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
Awesome. You should get some good tape from that.
Yeah, we will. That's a good idea.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks for being a junior producer.
I bet he cries.
I bet he says he works with Tony Robbins.
How can you know at this point?
I bet he also says that he wishes he had a time machine.
Yeah, time machine.
He
invoked time machine.
Yeah, we're going to devote some time to our friend, our good friend,
yes,
Dog Bounty Hunter. Last night, dug himself, if possible, in a bigger hole on Larry King. Before that, Buzz.
Yes.
First item.
Uh-huh.
Junka or whatever that.
Jenkum.
That,
Jenkum.
Jenkum.
Jenkum, yes.
Right.
I've got, yeah.
Did you do your research on that?
I did.
And?
A huge expose. Well, I was going to save it for later, but I'll tell you right now. The fact of the matter is the police bulletin that we've all seen is real. The police bulletins, the alerts that have been given out to the officers, that part's real. Unfortunately, the police bulletins were based on an internet hoax, and the kid who did it now says he doesn't want to be remembered as the kid who huffed poo or whatever he called
it.
Well,
if he designed the hoax, then he should be proud of that fact. I mean, your good old internet hoax is
a pretty
good thing.
But it's a hoax, right?
Well, up to a point. You see, there's this one hitch in the whole story. It would all be tied up in a bow at this point, except for this.
What?
Doing some research, we now know that the BBC and the New York Times reported in the late 1990s on the use of Jenkum in a specific place, Lasuka, I believe it is, in Zambia. So it's actually been reported as a real thing years ago by the BBC and the New York Times.
Phony baloney alarm.
Right, because the BBC's always making
stuff
up.
Yeah, that's right, because you got to go through it. Listen, Buzz, admit it. It's an urban legend that kids take number two, number one, put them in jars, ferment it, smell it, and get high.
At this point, it may very well be an urban legend, but I believe
he won't give it up, will he?
Well, when he has it, is when it gets through
Zambia,
his meters, when it gets through his defense system,
late '90s,
when he puts it on the air as a legitimate news story,
BBC,
he will not accept the fact that it's a hoax.
What far-reaching part of the world are you claiming it happened in?
Let me look up the town again, Lasuka, I believe it is in Zambia.
Oh, that place is.
Yeah, sure, Buzz.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I think we went.
Yeah, there it is. Reported by both the BBC and the New York Times, and it was Lusaka. L-U-S-A-K-A, Zambia.
And they said what?
Late 1990s. They reported that kids, children, actually older children, young teens.
Are they now standing behind that report?
Yes, they are. We're using Jenkins.
Really? The New York Times is standing behind the report?
Yes, they are. And the BBC.
We're using it to get high?
Yes. In Zambia in the
Has
late 90s.
It been confirmed that the substance causes people to get high? I don't know whether you'd have the answer to that.
I don't think anybody knows that for sure.
See, that's the
hold on, Buzz.
That's the $64,000 question.
I got to get back to the whole thing. Is it an internet hoax or not?
And the thing is, like all hoaxes, you know who you have to give this to. You have to give this to MythBusters.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It will be the highest rated episode of MythBusters.
They should do that.
You know, they should take some of these. You know, not just these urban legends, but you know, they ought to take something that's off the internet.
But seriously, when I said to you, does the New York Times stand behind this? I can't imagine that in their edition today, even on page 28A, that they've got a little thing in the corner saying, incidentally, there's this story about kids putting their excrement with their number one and smelling it. And we want to just say that back in the late 90s, we had a story. This is true. Did they?
They did have a story in the late 90s. And so did the BBC.
But are they coming
out? Is there anything in today's paper? No.
So when what I said is the New York Times standing behind that?
Uh-huh.
And also I'd like to know the context in which they originally allegedly presented that story in the New York Times.
We'll have to find that out.
Well, would you please get your crack staff on that?
Sure.
Yeah, because I'd be curious to know.
No pun intended.
If it's an internet hoax now, it might be a chance that even back then it was a hoax.
Yeah, I think like any good joke, a good hoax is based in some truth. I believe the initial New York Times and BBC reports in the late 90s.
I believe the children are our future.
What I'd like to see is somebody test this and see what this stuff is.
Sure,
and
but
see
who
if
wants
it's got
to?
Some. Well, they could do it scientifically. You wouldn't you wouldn't have to huff it.
Sure.
I thought Mike was making some Jenkum when I got here today, but then I realized it was the cleaning crew's day.
And I'm tired of being the poster boy for poop in this station.
No, and we realized.
Even though Joe Ardinger walked in on got me a little gas. A
lot of orange. A lot of orange.
They clean and then they spray the orange.
I'm going to start hiding the orange.
We have to lock it up from the cleaning crew.
All right, well, I'm going to vote that this thing is officially an urban legend. What is your vote on this, Mike?
Or definitely an urban legend. I mean, even with the backstory on it, it's an urban legend.
Buzz?
Is not. Kids are not doing this. Nobody's getting high off this stuff. It's not happening.
I believe the original reports from the late 90s.
Okay.
So you think it might be stuff that people get high on?
I want to believe. I think so. I think this started in reality. It became a hoax and then became reality again sheriff's department
put out a bulletin. Where's the detail? Where's the detail on the story from the early 90s? Do you have the entire story from the early 90s?
No.
I do not. I will track that down for you.
If that would be helpful. Hey, Joe, you're not doing anything back there, are you? Joe?
Yes, Don.
Hi there. What are you enjoying for lunch today, Joe?
It's lunchtime.
Chinese food, Don.
Joe! Hey, be a lovin'. Google whatever article it is Buzz is talking about, the New York Times.
On the Jenkum?
Yeah. New York Times, BBC, late 90s in Lusaka, Zambia.
Gotcha.
Thanks.
It's like playing Where's Waldo?
Because it's our job here to debunk all these urban legends.
Now, I thought it was our job to start them.
Distinct them.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Boy, you really have to know how to whistle.
If
you're going to do the Andy of Mayberry, you have to really know how to whistle.
Horrible. Week than a week. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike, happy Jenkum Thursday, fellas.
Right on. How are you, my friend?
What do you think the over-under is on Terry Bradshaw keeping a nice thermos of Jenkum underneath the desk?
So of all
that
the people,
not funny.
All the people he picks Terry Bradshaw. Oh, only wish JB was still working with
Hello,
him.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air. Howdy.
Hi. I just wanted to see if Mike went home and exercised last night.
No.
Okay. Well,
thank
have
you.
A lovely day.
No, but I stayed on my diet.
Oh, well, that's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
Good. Bye.
Whoa, I didn't mean to make you mad, lady. At least I could sit here and lie.
No, you told the truth.
No.
Well, listen, let me...
Carla felt sorry for me last night and made me an absolutely incredible point-friendly dinner.
Oh, good.
Which turns out that shrimp is not a lot of calories.
Wonderful.
For the ounces.
Not a lot
you
of
just,
points.
If you just, if you don't put anything on it. If
right.
It's just the shrimp. And so I dug into that, and then she made me a little fat-free cheese pizza on a sun-dried tomato pita, which and low-fat turkey pepperoni, which was just, I mean, it was just good. Absolutely fabulous. But I do believe, the aforementioned discussion, I do believe I'm having the residual effects of that today. A little bit.
All right.
You know, and I didn't eat any crap at all for lunch today after our discussion yesterday. Whatever you directed Joe to do, I think he threw everything out of there. I don't think I have any of the breakfast. Joe, did you throw my my little breakfast bars out upstairs, too?
I brought them all home for himself.
Or did you bring them downstairs?
They're down here.
Oh, they're down here. So, well, anyway, they weren't upstairs, so I didn't eat any of those. I just ate my turkey sandwiches.
All that right, was huzzah.
Being
huzzah.
Huzzah.
This is for anybody that's trying to lose weight or anything. You do feel differently immediately. I mean, you immediately feel less fat. It's a good thing.
That is good.
I'll see if I can carry it through till the end of the day today.
Like you said, if you can get through three days, you're in pretty good shape.
Till the end of the show.
The end of the show.
Till the end of the show.
Well, tonight I have to go tonight. No problem the end of the show, because tonight I'm getting my fat suit. And the last thing I'd want to do is walk in to try on my fat suit next door after the show's over tonight and have it not fit.
Huh. Well,
wouldn't that be embarrassing?
You just got fit for the fat
suit. Yeah, and I'm less than I was when I got fitted for it. So that's it. And you always want to be that. You know, when you buy any new clothing and you have to get it like altered or tailored, or you don't want to roll back in there 2 or 3 days, 4 days, even 2 weeks later and be heavier than when you bought the thing. You don't want that to happen.
How many days is it since you bought it, though?
When did I buy it? Tuesday?
So I don't think
Monday. I bought it Monday.
Today's only Thursday. I think you're safe on that one.
Well, yeah, but no. What if I went home? What if I ate like a pig yesterday and today? All day, it'll be a little different.
I don't think it would alter your fat suit, though.
Not the weight or anything like that, but definitely you could feel a little more, hey, how are you?
Sure.
You know? But do you not agree that, I mean, even one day, if you eat right one day, you feel better? You know, even if it's one day, you feel better. What?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I don't.
Three, maybe.
Okay.
Three in a row, maybe.
What's that?
I'd say 3 days in a row.
Yeah, well, I really do. I mean, I feel on this particular, yeah. I really feel good today.
Well,
I feel really, really good.
That's what we all wished for you yesterday.
Yeah, I know. And tomorrow is another day. And what do you say? What is that thing?
Tomorrow
promise is promised to no one. One. That's right.
Promise to no one, my friend.
Yeah, I'll do the real talking when I lose some significant weight. Then I'll come back and check in with you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know at the end of that Snopes article you guys were reading yesterday has three different sources, including the date the BBC News aired that Jenkum story, if you wanted to look it up.
Who has that, honey?
On Snopes?
Yes.
Okay, we'll check that.
Thank you.
Isn't it sad to be scooped by our listeners?
Gee, lady, it must be nice to be smarter than everyone else.
I don't feel scooped.
She's smarter than everybody in this room.
Well, that's not exactly an accomplishment.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Joe.
No, it's Don and Mike. Hey, when did you change the password?
Hey, guys, listen.
Hey, when did you change the password on the computer?
I realize you can put any name in there. I change it every time. I can't wait to see them run an activity report.
Oh, dear. What's his password?
It's not a word we can say.
Oh, okay.
It's something whole.
Oh, good.
I've used every variant of F.
Very.
And lots of variants of the word jerk.
Hello. This is the Don and Mike Show. How are you? What's happening?
Hey, with this butt hash stuff, wouldn't you think that if it was real, that every person in prison would be doing it?
Yes, as I said yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they had a jar and a balloon.
When Buzz brought this up yesterday, I said, if it was real, don't you think back like in Quest for Fire caveman time?
Yeah.
That would have been one of the first things that man would have discovered.
And I would imagine you don't necessarily need a jar and a balloon. I would imagine if the materials, the raw materials were easily available, you could put it in a bottle of water, an empty plastic bottle.
Yeah, you have to seal it and then hope the bottle doesn't explode when the gas builds up.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you think, why are you hanging on this?
He's
so
married
much?
To it, isn't
I
he?
Want to believe. Plus, we're going to find out more about this report from the BBC in the late 90s.
Tell the truth. You're trying it at home, aren't you?
Not yet.
All right, before we move on with the Jenkum stuff, I do have a stink story, a very brief stink story, not my stink. Uh-huh. I want to preface this by saying I go to two different banks. A lot of people go to different banks. So I say this because I don't want the bank that I went to know that it's them that I'm talking about.
Okay. I understand.
I had one of those deals today where you had to have a sit down to – with the manager, you just go in and you sign papers for whatever it is that they're doing, the move, whatever money. You know, I go in and I sign. So I'm sitting at the manager's desk and I'm waiting. She comes over And she says, hi, let me go get those. And she says, oh, my God, do you smell that? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, I am so sorry. And I swear to Christ, she picked up the phone. She goes, boom, boom, boom. Picks up her hands, and she goes, Hadim, put your shoes on.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
It was one of the tellers.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, God, that is so gross.
And she, now keep in mind, I'm in that little office that's just kitty corner.
And his foot odor was so bad that it had lingered in the office where he had been barefoot.
She hangs up the phone and she says.
Or even with socks, probably.
Uh-huh. She hangs up the phone. She says, I am so sorry. She goes, I've got some spray here. And it's a little a lavender
that
spray.
Is uh-huh. Too funny.
And she said, we get so many complaints. Uh-huh. And I s you not, I eyeballed the guy when I left. Uh-huh. He was most definitely wearing a turban.
Oh, God. Oh,
I swear to God.
No. Unfortunately. Wow. That had to crack you up.
Great.
And was it definitive foot odor smell?
Yeah, or was it it was like a Jenko or whatever it is.
That's pretty bad.
Jenko. Smell of something rotten.
Wow.
And so good. She's like, oh, I am so embarrassed. Please hold on a moment.
Hey, good for her for running a tight ship. You know, good for her for clamping down on that, you know.
And his name was something like Hadim.
Mm-hmm. Like you know, that is a huge deal in the workplace. It goes back to a disc jockey that I worked with, and he will go nameless because I think he might be back in town. So, but he had a problem that we always thought was BO, and then it became apparent that it was body odor, but it was coming from perhaps a different part of the body.
Are you talking about Lou Katz?
And, that is so wrong. Double O. No, it wasn't double O, but it was. It got to the point where
surf
this this old general manager. You ever hear the name Stan Karras?
Sure.
I don't think he's with us anymore.
Yeah, I've heard of.
Had to call this guy in and go, "You stink,
dude.
You have to do it." And I'd worked with the guy, you know, before, and you go into the studio, and it was horrific. You know, on a warm day in the studio when the air conditioning wasn't working quite right, it was seriously repulsive. I think it's a delicate issue in the workplace if you got somebody that stinks.
All right, I'm not for this. I'm not for the charade. You're talking about Sandy Weaver.
No.
And her honor, you keep saying he, and it's really a she.
Yeah,
like.
I'm trying to cover it up. Trying to cover it up.
Oh, I do have also a proposed trade for you from my son.
Okay.
Who wants to know if you would like to trade straight up.
I'm sure it's Chad Johnson.
No. He would like, since he looked at your roster.
Yes.
You have two quarterbacks.
Yes.
He would like Tony Romo straight up for Joseph Addai from the Colts.
Brief me on this Joseph Addai a little bit. You know, how's he doing this year? I haven't been paying close attention.
It's not a two-back system. He's their running back. Every week he's worth 20 points.
The bye week is passed. When's the Patriots bye? Do they have a bye?
Yeah, you couldn't make the deal this week because you got to play Tony Romo this week because the Patriots are on bye this week.
Patriots have bye. Yeah, I'll make the deal with them next week.
All right, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Well, you'd be happy.
I need a running back. My running backs are sucking wind.
I'm glad I could facilitate that deal, be the middleman.
And then that's it, right? No more buys for Mr. Brady, right? On him playing out the string. Okay, yeah, tell him that's a done deal.
All right, cool. Well, he'll be glad.
And I don't want to get 300 phone calls. No, Addai's like one of the premier running backs in the league this year.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't. I don't have a dog in this race, really.
Well, and I mean, it's a backup quarterback. I'm not going to play Tony Romo, so it's a good deal.
I know you're looking for a running back. Mm-hmm. He's looking for a quarterback. You got two. You're not going. You're not going to play both of them. Right?
I will not. I mean, how could I possibly play Tony Romo if I played Tony Romo when the Patriots played the Colts. I don't see that happening again. I don't see them coming up against a team where I'm going to need to do that, although Tony Romo's having a good year.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if you guys might have a Jenkum contest, you know?
Maybe if you're talking like 5 years ago, we probably would have.
Yeah. I found the BBC story from 1999.
Oh, did you?
I did.
What's the headline?
To quote the BBC.
10 years from now, this will be quoted.
I have only the text here from the BBC's 1999 report.
You don't have the pictures?
There are no pictures.
What was the when you say their report? frame it for us, please. In what context?
This is the text.
Was it like a bulletin put out by the BBC?
No, well, it was just a news story that was done by the BBC. And I have the script. I have the text of that story here.
Could that be like saying, though, just to put it in context, mm-hmm. when you hear one of those wacky stories on the news here that you think might be made up, and they go, well, it was reported by Associated Press.
Right.
So it must be true.
So you don't have have like an authorized BBC page that you're reading from.
I'm reading a BBC report.
Okay. Now was it a report that they sent to Scotland Yard?
Yeah. Talk about me being stubborn.
Did they send it? Did they send it to Radio One? Did they put it in there on one of their four TV channels?
Broadcast details. All I have is the freaking script from the BBC's story.
All right. Well, what does it say?
You're sure though, right? It's on the right letterhead.
Yes, I am. At the Lusaka sewage ponds, two teenage boys plunge their hands into the dark brown sludge, gathering up fistfuls and stuffing it into small plastic bottles. They tap the bottles on the ground, taking care to leave enough room for methane to form at the top. A sour smell.
I believe I would like to see this, though. Again, I'd like to see this in the context of how it's presented as a whole.
I don't know what you mean. You want to see videotape or hear an audio tape? Or...
Oh, Buzz, slow down for a second.
I'm just asking.
Okay.
All right.
Do you remember, like, in the olden days of TV, when they would want to find something out, they'd go to the library,
right.
And they'd go to that room that had the big asshole machine, and they'd look at the
microfilm. Oh, you want to see microfilm.
And they'd see the microfilm, and you'd
see... That's valid. From the BBC? From a broadcast outlet?
Well,
if it was a newspaper, I could see that.
Well, see, I asked you at what form was this broadcast. If this was broadcast on the BBC, well, BFD.
He got right to the methane part, though. Can he read the methane part?
Sure.
I want to hear the methane part.
Tap the bottles on the ground.
Did they use it as a kicker?
No. That's actually a rather meaty story they have here.
Meaty.
Yeah.
You know what? I think the way, Buzz, rather than dispute, I'd love to hear the details. Uh-huh. Perhaps we should just call the BBC.
I think that's a good idea to verify it.
I don't see why we couldn't just call BBC and say, hey, are you guys aware of this? Would you verify the story for our newsman?
Sure.
Fair enough.
And it's a good chance for us to call a foreign country.
Because, Buzz, I would happily give it up to you.
Mm-hmm. He'd gotten right to the point, though, where methane formed.
All right, tell us about it.
A sour smell rises in the hot sun, but the boys seem oblivious to the stench and the foul nature of their task. They are manufacturing Jenkum, a disgusting, noxious mixture made from fermented sewage. It is cheap, potent, and very popular among the thousands of street children in Lusaka. When they cannot afford glue or are too scared to steal petrol, these youngsters turn to Jenkum as a way of getting high. The article goes on beyond that. A kid, a 16-year-old, says it lasts about an hour. He says he prefers it to other substances. He says, with glue, I just hear voices in my head. With Jenkum, I see visions. I see my mother, who is dead, and I forget about the problems in my life. This is from 1999.
All right. Okay, well, then I would say, how come it didn't get picked up by other news outlets and become an actual story?
Perhaps it did, and nobody among us recalls it right now.
I have an answer. Wait, hold on. I have an answer for that. It didn't get picked up because it's a third world country, and nobody gave a rat's ass about it. Now that it might be in the United States, people do. But
this was before internet hoaxes. I mean, this was before the things had really caught on, I think.
No. This has got to be a hoax.
Of course it does.
Well, wait a minute, though. I'm starting to flip over now because it sounds like this is really done.
All right, hold on. Here's a call. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Pardon me.
Hey, Radio God.
Hi there.
Hey, I believe that Elvis, that's how he died.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Jenkum.
On his own Jenkum.
So you think the story about the kids in Africa doing this is a hoax?
Here's what I think. I think that perhaps some cat somewhere...
Maybe, manufactured that BBC story?
No, maybe did find that, granted, back in the 90s, maybe the BBC did air a story like as the 35th item in a 40-item newscast.
Doesn't make it less true, though.
Well, hold on a second.
All right.
Maybe, as Mike said, in some third world country, this actually happened and they reported on it.
Uh-huh.
Let's say some cat in college, stoned, bored, starts Googling this, finds that, and says, it'll be a great idea.
Sure. I believe that.
What if we just start?
I think that's exactly what happened.
And that's what I mean.
I agree.
It's a hoax.
Then we're all in agreement.
Based on reality, but it currently is a hoax.
Well, I don't trust the BBC.
I know, because they're British.
You're goddamn right,
Buzz. They're actually one of the most credible news organizations on the planet.
That, my friend, is where you and I will be on the other side of the fence.
I understand.
Right?
So, here's the thing I'm most concerned about here. Uh-huh. is that there is this, you know, they mention methane.
Right.
What they're getting high on is methane.
Apparently so. I mean, I'm not a
scientist.
And
that's the first time in 2 days that I've heard that.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear the chemical compound. And now I'd like somebody that's in the know to say, you know, somebody that has any kind of scientific background to let us know if methane can indeed get you high. I thought methane blew up your house and got you. You know, wait a minute.
Like I said yesterday, would not a Roto-Rooter guy like get high all the time?
I think that I had.
If that's all it took.
We had a messed up toilet in my old house that was kind of one of those deals where it was a dry.
Are you applauding for a messed up toilet?
It was a dry toilet. It didn't flush. It had nothing in it, right?
Right.
I mean, no water, no nothing.
Okay.
But there was this horrible odor that came out of it, and it permeated the house. And we were told, get the hell out of the house.
Yeah, sewer gas.
Because you can be, not only can the house blow up, but you'll get sick. You'll get and that's the
without water in the toilet.
Now wait, I've talked myself back to the other side again, because they said, you know, you can get very ill, and there was nothing, you know, and that's methane gas.
That's typical of anything. That's typical of booze or any drug that you might take. It screws up your body, and that's what makes you high.
But I remember that we had, like, headaches, and it was a bad situation.
Sure.
But never any feeling of being.
Urban legend.
What?
It's got to be an urban legend.
Well, I mean, that was methane gas that they were worried about, and we didn't get high.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, if that was true about the Jankum, wouldn't the people at the pollution control place be high all the time?
The sewage plant.
Well, that's kind of like what I said with the Roto-Rooter guy.
Well, if you listen to the story from the BBC, what they're talking about is that they're standing over sewage, and they have to put it in a jar and process
and
it before and ferment it.
Right. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, Buzz, I'm heading to my dealer's house right now to procure marijuana cigarettes and Jankum. Can I pick you up anything?
Don't overpay, whatever you do.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Radio gods.
How could you tell if someone stepped on your Jankum? You know what I mean?
Oh, you'd know.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Radio gods.
Be on their shoe.
Easy solution for you guys to try out Jankum. Invite Robert the Angry Man over and smell his breath, see if you get high.
All right, that's not kind.
Stop that.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
Mike looks adoringly at the poster of Robert the Mailman we have in the studio.
Beautifully characterized. Right.
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Exactly what I did.
Hello.
Welcome to Debunk Buzz. Hi. Hi there.
Hi.
Buzzbusters. Hello. Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, come on.
It has been a slice of paradise, cats and kittens.
Thanks for calling, Mr. DeMass.
Don and Mike show.
Thank you, Charlie.
Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
I guess if you guys really want to figure out if the Jemka really works, you could fart.
Now, hold on. If you know, when you're having a discussion about something, and we've mentioned it, you called it Jemka.
Yeah, get it right.
It's Jenkum.
That's right.
Hello? Well, he's gone. I think what he was going to say, though, is what a lot of people are thinking. If that's the case, I know we've all been in an elevator, in a crowded room.
That's different. It's not fermented.
And it's not concentrated.
Yeah, but wow.
Your last paragraph. Nobody knows exactly where the idea.
What about some of those death farts?
Not fermented.
Pretty potent.
Sure. Correct.
Yeah, but hold on a second.
Wouldn't you get some kind of a rush?
I got a point. The fermenting process is the methane gas isn't in the raw sewage. It doesn't just exist. You ferment it to get methane gas. What comes out of the body is fermented. That's gas.
True.
That's methane gas. That's the same thing. That's the same thing cows produce. So I posit to you that if you were in an elevator and the doors were sealed and eight people broke wind at the same time,
you'd be high as a kite.
You'd be high. Or even if it was really bad, you might get a little buzz.
We had a caller yesterday who said the fermentation process also produces carbon dioxide.
Did that caller work for the BBC?
A combination of the two. I'm not a chemist. I can't answer.
And it was Austin Powers.
Right. Just like yesterday, that's the part I want to hear.
Right.
I want to hear the person with a chemistry background or a science background explain this.
As someone who in a previous life enjoyed getting high more than anything, if it was humanly possible, I would have tried it.
Now, that argument doesn't hold any water.
Hold on.
Get it?
What I'm saying
is... What if you didn't know about it?
Right. That too.
You think you know all the exotic drugs of the world?
All right, I'm not going to use myself as an example. I'm going to use like some junkie in a corner.
All right.
Some guy that's crawling around.
Eric Bickle?
Yeah, some junkie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy like that, the word's going to get out on the street. Hey, man, if you really need to get high, if you really, really need to.
Well, with that substance, yeah.
And at that point.
Because it requires no money.
That's what I'm saying. And at that point.
Oh, I have another theory.
Then don't you put every drug dealer in the world out of business?
Yeah,
and people realize that they can.
Not as foul as it
make
is.
Make their own.
People would rather have something that wasn't as foul.
And that's another wrinkle that I put on this thing. Perhaps that's why it's been labeled an urban legend. Because the people that distribute and manufacture the real stuff don't want people to realize that they can get a better high out of what comes out of their body. Maybe it's one vast Halliburton-style conspiracy.
All I know is back in the day when I partook, if I could have found a way to, you know, this is akin to growing your own. Really?
You just made Mike spit out his water.
That's what I'm saying.
In the purest sense of the word. In the purest sense of the word, it is definitely growing your own.
Right? And while I am not saying back in the day I would have done it, it's certainly in one of my many, many nights clawing at my teeth with my eyeballs wide open, staring at the clock flashing 12, 12, 12. If someone had said, you can get high doing that, I probably at least would have thought about it.
And I'm thinking, why human? Why not animal?
I don't know.
Why not animal? Because
yes, Mike, more
animal
exotic.
Would be, yeah, more exotic.
No, animals,
maybe you can. I mean, again,
gross.
Not a chemist.
Animals gross, not like people.
It's all an urban legend, though.
Aren't you more, wouldn't you be more grossed out by human than you would say dog?
You know what? It's a mood issue.
It isn't for me. I remember that time when we were down at the movie theater. And you and Frank stumbled upon the human. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that infinitely grosser than seeing, like, a dog?
Yeah, some homeless guy taking
or seeing,
a dog.
Like, for example, deer droppings out on the,
especially
you know,
fresh.
in the park. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, rabbit. Or even the thing that we are covered with every day now, bird.
Bird crap. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Every
with
car
it.
In the parking lot, whether you're under the trees or not.
Fistfuls of it.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey,
the only jinkum I ever sniffed was the one that had corn in it. That's the best.
Oh, the corn joke was already used. Rob, didn't you use the corn joke yesterday?
Yeah. Hi there, BBC, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Hello, guards.
Yes, hello.
Hey, there's a website that people go to that they want people to pass gas on them. Maybe they're onto something.
Oh, no, that's not like that. I like chocolate thing.
That's different. A bit of a different thrill.
It's a fetish.
Back to the birds. Have you noticed the birds are worse this year out there?
They are maybe four times worse.
They've moved
this year.
To these two trees now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so it's no longer safe to park in front of the building.
Buzz and I were standing out there last night, and seriously, it was you could not see the sky because it was so thick.
It's like Hitchcock out there.
100 of these huge, gigantic,
black, more
than 100
size
of turkeys swarm at once all over our building.
I hate these birds. I really have begun to hate these birds.
It's a health hazard.
They have razor sharp claws.
They crap everywhere. Big, gigantic, dinosaur sized craps.
Their eyes glow red.
You can get high as a kite. You go out and lick anybody's car.
They spit sparks.
Wait, you know, I just figured out a solution.
All right.
We tried a bunch of stuff, an air horn,
right.
You know, with a pop gun or something like that last year.
Firecracker.
We've got the cable where we could run out. Do we have any speakers in this building where we could, duct tape a couple of speakers to the trees?
Sure.
And then Don could control, you'd have the show at a low volume, and then you'd use whatever sound effects you wanted to blast them out of the trees.
Here comes bird hater Joe Ardinger.
I have an idea.
Joe.
Okay, well, this
yes,
was,
sir.
This will fix it.
I recently learned how to make hydrogen and put it in a balloon, so we could fill a balloon with hydrogen and tape a fuse to the side of it and light it and let it float up into the tree, and it'll explode
hydrogen,
releasing a gigantic
hydrogen,
gigantic fireball.
He's mentally retarded.
Ask the Hindenburg crew.
Humanity. What I mentioned, this tree is also right next to a big apartment building.
Uh-huh. What are crows, besides man, what would crows be most scared of? What would be a sound?
Crows.
Scared
winner.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're good.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
But I love them folks. I used to date a retarded gal for a while. I loved her today. We ended up breaking up. We didn't agree on nothing. It's unbelievable. I'd say tomato. She'd say bowling shoes.
Thank you, Larry.
The Don and Mike Show.
Our favorite.
That's my cable guy.
Lawrence.
You know. Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Yo.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hey, man. You talk to Don and Mike.
Didn't this happen about this time yesterday? Mm-hmm. What would you like to talk to Don and Mike about?
This is a first-time caller, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when you get on the air with them, you can't say that word.
I understand that, Joe. I understand that.
Should you say dog?
Joe.
Oh, Joe.
Joe. How long have you been listening to the show?
Oh, probably 15 years.
All right, if someone was to tell you that you've made a mistake early on in this conversation.
No, besides
a good
I'm
answer.
I'm so sorry. Besides so saying sorry. The S word, what else? Can you think of anything else you've messed up thus far?
You've made a mistake. What do you think that mistake is?
I have no idea.
That might be part of the mistake.
That's why I'm sorry we cannot let you through to talk to Don and Mike, even though you are a loyal 15-year listener.
You'll let me know what the mistake is.
Would you like to take one more guess at it? You've gotten something wrong. You've gotten something wrong. What do you think that is?
Last chance. What did you get wrong? Hurry, Don and Mike. Don and Mike are very busy.
I understand that.
Well, you as a 15-year listener would know that.
Can I give you just a slight hint? Can I give him just a slight hint?
Really, Joe? Sure. You want to give him a little hint, Joe?
Just a little hint right now. The fact is, you're talking to two people right now.
Right.
What would that be? Now see if you can guess your mistake.
I'm not talking to Joe. Well, I am talking to Joe, but...
You're talking to who?
Now, that I don't know.
All right, we got a winner here.
I don't know.
A winner. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry they can't talk to you. They've got an edict today. No dumbasses.
No problem.
Like, did you hear the other day they had this guy that called him up? And this guy was on the phone with them for what seemed like an hour. And he kept saying, when I get to talk to them, when I get to talk to them. And as it turns out, it was really them on the phone the whole time. And the guy really looked like quite the dumbass.
Would you like to try to...
I know what Don and Mike's voice sounds like.
Right, right. Okay, then if you know that...
You're not on the air enough to really get familiarized with your voice.
Okay, so you know what Don and Mike's voices sound like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we'll give you one more crack at it.
And you've heard when guys have called before, even a couple of days ago, a guy was on the air for over 10 minutes and didn't know that he was talking to Don and Mike.
So now with that said, would you like to take a third crack at what your mistake might have been?
I don't know, but you'll tell me.
What was that?
I don't think you're really even trying at all.
Yeah, he should be forced to guess.
Yeah. Okay.
No. Now, you know when you get on the air with Don and Mike, you can't say that. You can't say as someone who gives an S. Tell me something. How long have you listened? 15 years? Where are you calling from?
Wichita.
Wichita. Uh-huh. You listen to those guys every day?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, you obviously have taken the time to pick up the phone and call, so you give an S enough to do that.
What do you like best about the show? I bet you like they have good chemistry, Don and Mike do, don't they? Like, well, it's very distinctive. One guy talks, the other guy talks. You like that, right?
I just like laughing on the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's got to be more than that. There's got to be something you like about the show.
What I just said, they make me laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. This is funny.
You like it when they talk about their lives?
That's part of the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Do you hear Mike talking about his fat suit?
Well, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You either did or you didn't. You're not even making the slightest effort at all. Why are you trying so little?
What do you think?
Why does Don always play that little part where he calls you a retard?
I don't know, because he's a huge dick.
It's just part of the trouble of being Joe.
I hate working for him.
Well, Don's cool. You're not. That's why you're in the position you are in.
Thank you. Why are you putting me down?
Because you're a dick.
I am not.
Don't call me a dick.
The only thing cool about you, man, is that you like the Stones.
Why are you putting me down, brother?
I know I'm effed up. I'm Joe.
Is there anything you like about me?
What you need to do, man, is you need to go take a big old hit of butt hash.
Yeah, that seems to get you motivated, huh?
Yeah.
Are you a stoner?
Used to be.
Yeah. Not anymore, though.
Nah.
What's your drug of choice now?
Alcohol.
Are you drinking right now?
Nope. Just got off work, brother.
If you could talk to Don and Mike, if I decided to put you through to them, what would you say to them?
Just like to say that it's not no urban legend what they're talking about. My girlfriend's a police officer here in Wichita.
Your girlfriend's a police officer, and what do you do, Holmes?
I work in the aircraft business.
I got to tell you something. The first thing Don and Mike are going to say, and don't be offended, I'm not saying it, they'll say it, they're going to say you're way too stupid to work anywhere near an airplane.
You don't build Lear jets, do you?
No, I build them bigger than that.
What company do you work for?
I can't give you that.
Why not? Come on, you're just talking.
Is it one of the big airline companies like Boeing?
You're just talking to me, Joe. Who is it? Boeing. Boeing's out there.
Could be.
Oh, so you work for Boeing?
You don't do anything important there, do you?
Very.
You must have to be. Listen, I'm going to give you a compliment. You must have to really be smart to work at Boeing, right? Right? You have to be smart to work there.
I build the planes that you fly your dumb ass on.
You build the planes?
Yeah.
Does anybody supervise you?
No supervision.
What?
No supervision. I know my job.
What exactly do you do on the planes?
I put them together. I buck rivets all day.
Rivets.
You rivet them. You know what? What would be really funny would be if Don and Mike would have had all of this on the air. Of course, we don't know your name, but they would know you work at Boeing Airlines, and they would know that you get drunk at work every day.
First of all, Boeing's not an airline.
An aircraft manufacturer. I misspoke.
Do you like your job?
Pays very well.
Did you drink yesterday at work? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, did you have anything to drink at work yesterday?
Every day.
You sound absolutely wasted. What do you have to say to that?
See, we can't...
I'd have to say that you're retarded.
Well, you seem to be using that word, and you like that word.
Stop and... Oh, dear. I realize you don't give an ass. But how are you ever going to get through to talk to them? Because you're a smart guy, right? You work at Boeing.
You know what, dude? It's not all that important.
You drink on the job while you make airplanes?
Absolutely.
And what would you say if I was to tell you that this was on the radio?
And that the entire conversation has been on the radio?
Because I'm listening to the radio right now.
So yeah. Now you know then, right?
So now, let's go back to the very first question that Joe asked you. What was your first mistake?
The biggest mistake. When you came...
No. Dear. When you were talking to...
Wow, he doesn't like Joe.
When you were talking to me, to Joe, what's the first mistake you made? Because I know you wouldn't want this call to go on the air, right? You wouldn't want the people at Boeing to know that you drink at work, right?
Hello? Are you there?
You wouldn't want the people at Boeing in Wichita, Kansas to know that you drink at work, right?
Maybe he's coming to the realization now.
Let's wait for him to come back from his radio. The line is still open, don't you know?
Let's see what happens.
Let's see. Brent?
Pretty good restraint on our part, huh?
Extremely. Yeah.
Your best ever, really.
He does the bolts. He does the rivets.
Mm-hmm. And I believe... Oh, no, he's not back yet. And I believe the part about drinking on the job.
I did, too. Listen to him. Frightening. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know a lot about machinery. That's what holds the wing onto the plane. That's
I right. know that there was a lot of dumping there, and it's because the guy, because he's so stupid, he didn't know he was on the air. He said on more than one occasion, hey, I want to talk to them about what kids do with that S. And then he said,
I don't give an S.
Then he said one time that he wanted to make love to Joe's wife.
Mm-hmm. And now he's gone.
Now he's there he goes.
That was riveting. Get it? Thank you. Give him a meat tray. Congratulations, sir.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I don't believe in outsourcing.
Hey, Joe, we got his number on caller ID, don't we?
Yeah.
Hey, would you run it in? Be a love and run it in.
Now, let's give him a holler back.
I'd like to call him back.
Give him a holler.
Say, hey, friend.
Uh-huh. Listener of the week.
What happened? We heard you were great.
we heard
we had a great call online. We just couldn't get to you.
Not only is he manufacturing aircraft that we all fly in, but he's dating a police officer. I feel good. I feel safe, and I feel good.
At least he confirmed the Jenkum story.
Yeah. She says his girlfriend, the cop, says it's true.
Uh-huh. All right, well, I guess
you
Joe
hang
is...
on to that. God.
Joe is...
Oh, right here with the number.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right. Let's give this guy a call back. See if we can start all over. Start afresh. Start anew.
Can you star 67 that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hold on a second.
All right, we're going to call him right now, see if he'll come on the air with us, and just get it all started again.
All right, now, Rob, you tell him that he was a very special caller, and he got away. We want to make sure we get him on the air, because we're that type of show.
And tell him to clean up the language.
We call our listeners back. Mm-hmm. If they can't get through.
The show that cares.
You better clean up that language, Buster.
We're like Ken Beatrice.
I'll take it in my office.
We don't get to you during the show. We sit in the office afterwards and take your calls.
Oh, no.
No answer.
Voicemail.
Oh, that's a shame. Did he sound as energetic on his voicemail?
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Same guy.
You want to leave him a voicemail?
Yeah, hold on. Give me for a second. Hold on. Did it beep?
I think so, yeah.
This is Lawrence Boeing.
Lawrence Boeing.
You effing drunk. You're fired. You effing hillbilly. Get your drunk ass out of Boeing Airlines.
Aircraft.
Aircraft lines. Buzz says hi.
I don't think we'll be hearing from him again.
That'll show him. Yep. All right, well, let me see.
Lawrence.
We never got to the dog tapes, Dog with Larry. We should, Mike, I'll tell you what we have coming up next.
Okay.
A very special Isn't That Something, and I want you to bear with me. This is not going to be a competition.
All right.
This is simply going to be an exhibition.
All right.
You and I work together.
Okay.
Not speaking in our jive, Al Nipple, Victor Anus voices.
Speaking the way we normally speak?
Speaking the way we normally speak.
All right.
To see... In a 5 to 7 minute interview, how many times we can say, isn't that something?
Who are we speaking to?
We'll be talking to a woman known as Anna Banana. She's a museum curator who lets banana lovers go ape.
Huh. The Banana Museum.
Oh, banana okay.
Museum. Okay.
We're down to one a month of these, right? Okay.
No, Mike, I want you to know something. This was my request.
All right.
This was my request.
Anna Banana.
Because I want to bring. Isn't That Something back to its purest form.
Gotcha. I think that's the way we should always do. There's no need to use fake voices.
It evolved into a competition with both of us.
It did. It was, we manically would say it.
Screaming on top of the other. Isn't that something? How about that? I'll
we can
be
actually
horse's ass.
Ask her a legitimate question and then throw one in when it's appropriate.
Right. And we got to work together. We got to work together.
Team.
And like I
said, are you speaking to yourself when you're telling me that?
No, Mike. I'm speaking to you. Well, yes. it's an exhibition.
Very
now,
good.
In this exhibition, will Buzz be still be keeping score?
Count the total number?
Yes, Buzz will.
The statistics.
But we will not. Do not score us because it'll be the total numbers of isn't that something.
No separate
That's
score.
Right. For team Don and Mike. That's
absolutely.
Right. That's right.
In the old day, you'd have to score the actual points and the assists.
Anna Banana.
Anna Banana.
Fascinating lady.
Anna Banana.
Normally, I know people would look at it with Mike. Mike did like with trepidation. Oh, no. Not again.
Yeah.
No.
I did. Did I look like that?
No, that's okay, Mike. I thought about it, and I thought when the first time we did it, like 5 years ago, it was really good.
Sure.
So let's see if we can make it two times in 5 years when it's been really good.
Well, I'm fascinated by a lady that's got a banana museum.
Is that something?
How about, and we can only say, isn't that something?
Is that going to be the rule?
Yeah, isn't that something?
How about that?
How about that?
Those
isn't
two.
That something? Yeah, those two.
Those are the two, but not forced.
And we're not going to be competing.
I won't if you won't, brother.
Isn't that something?
And no foul language.
Team
None.
Scoring.
How about that? I'm like Dog the Bounty Hunter. I haven't cussed in 5 days. Thank you, Larry. And I feel wonderful.
Tucker, you got to get rid of her. My mullet. I tell you what, after everything we've been through, he better marry her.
Do you have a message for Tucker Chapman?
Yeah. Hey, I got an impression of Dog the Bounty Hunter, okay? Say, I believe in my dad.
I believe in my dad.
A lot of that last night.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
He's tired.
Very tired.
Well, he's hooked up with Tony Robbins.
His
so
whirlwind media tour.
He's going to be okay.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, we got some good Dog the Bounty Hunter stuff, and we are still working on getting a hold of BBC.
Yes, to find out once and for all, what is the deal with this Jenkum story?
Okay, so we'll do the thing with the isn't that something. We'll listen to the dog, the bounty hunter, and also, at some point, we'll just do it right now. I wrote this down before the break, right as we were coming on the air. To my friend Mike, best buddy, you worry too much.
I worry because that's part of my makeup.
You
That's what I do. I'm a warrior.
Listen, I'm going to write that down. We're going to have a segment today on the show called You Worry Too Much.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
Later.
No problem.
Mike. It's about Mike and his girlfriend.
Oh.
You worry too much.
Not worried about her.
I know Understood. You're not.
Not worried about her at all.
Understood.
I'm worried about a large group of men.
Every other man in the world. At least all of them that will be crammed into this place tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm not strong enough.
All right. All right.
I'm not strong enough to fight them off.
All right, one thing at a time here today.
Yes.
Let's start. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm giving out 8,000 different directions.
Anna Banana.
Anna Banana. Isn't that something? How about that? Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Morning, Pee-wee.
Little Francis.
Today is my birthday, and my father said I can have anything I want.
Good for you and your father.
So guess what I want?
A new brain.
No, your bike.
What's so funny, Pee-wee?
It's not for sale. Francis.
Then you're crazy.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
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 I know you are, but what am I? Infinity.
No, I'm not.
You are.
No way. Knock it off.
Cut it out.
No, shut up, Pee-wee.
Why don't you make me?
Why don't you make me?
Because I don't make monkeys. I just train them.
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up next, it looks like a potential predator party.
Oh, not necessarily.
Come on now.
A lot of perverts in here.
That's true.
I like her very much, this lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I look on her sometimes and imagine her with no clothes.
Listen while you BM. It's the Don and Mike Show.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Well, it's back now. It's the return of Isn't That Something?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Hold on. We got to wait. You got the music?
Yeah, it's number two.
The music is in. Hey, how appropriate with today's theme.
Hey, number two. Jenkum.
The music is in number two.
30 points.
Buzz?
Yes.
We'll need you to please give us your super duper intro.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, Don and Mike present Isn't That Something? How about that? Now, here are your hosts, Don and Mike.
Thank you, Johnny Ringo. How are you anyway? I'm Don. Here's my best buddy, Mike.
Hello, everyone.
We're talking to Ann Lovell today. Anna Banana. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
And because we're on a time constraint, why don't we let's start with 5 minutes.
5 minutes to talk to the lady who refers to herself as Anna Banana.
Why do you have that name, Ann?
My parents used to call me Anna Banana as a kid, and the name just stuck, and people still call me Banana.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. How does that work into what you do now, Ann?
People are pretty much used to it by now. I've been with that name for many years, so people...
But I see here that the name is appropriate, isn't it, for your line of work, correct?
That's true. I have the Washington Banana Museum.
Isn't that something?
And I've been collecting for, I guess, over 25 years.
And this is Washington State, not D.C.
That's right, Washington State. Right.
How about that? Those are two totally different places. How many people come in to talk to you about bananas on a daily basis?
The Banana Museum is now an online thing. It used to be a walk-in thing, but it got too time-consuming, so now it's just an online museum.
Oh, it's an online museum.
Yeah.
So, how about that? People can't come in and see the stuff you have. They have to go on the Internet to see it?
Yeah, they can see it on my website. It's at bananamuseum.com.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a website?
Yeah.
How about that?
How long you had it?
Since about 96, I guess, is when I put it up.
That's a heck of a long time. How many bananas have you ever eaten it in one sitting?
Oh, I try to keep it down to one at a time.
Well, you know, I see the number of things that you've collected over the years.
One time my friend Mike, can I just tell you something about my buddy Mike?
Yeah,
here?
Go ahead.
One time he ate four bananas.
Four bananas in one sitting.
Isn't that something, Anna?
That's a lot of potassium in one sitting.
My stomach was so distended that I walked out of the studio and one of the guys, you know, practically had to pass out and said, how about that, when he saw me. So how many things do you have in your museum?
I have a guesstimate of probably about 4,500.
Really? Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to count some of the things, but, I did a pretty serious estimate several years ago, and it was 3,000, and I know I've added lots.
3,000?
Oh, isn't that something? I would imagine that, you don't think of Washington State as being a place where bananas would grow.
No. I think that's what attracted me to it, one of the things that attracted to me, because it is so wet and rainy out here, as you
it's
know.
It's wet. How about that? It's not very wet here. How wet is it there?
Well, today it's dry, but you know how it can get.
Isn't that something that somebody that would be out in that area of the country would actually have a collection of bananas?
Yeah, I think the exotic places where they grow kind of attracted me. So.
Do you get over to those places very often? I mean, do you travel a lot?
No, I don't. But
oh,
I hope
isn't that something?
When I retire, I hope to travel to some of those sunny places.
How about that? I'll tell you something. A great place to go is Florida. They have lots of nice bananas down there. Do you ever get bananas from Florida?
I have some postcards from there.
How about that? I do, too. I got lots of postcards.
You never get down to South America?
I haven't been down there. Yeah, no, I haven't, but I hope to one day.
Isn't that something? You love bananas, but you've never been abroad. I'm curious. We're not talking about just the fruit themselves. You have things related to bananas. What would be the most unusual item in your collection?
Well, it's a series of things, really. It's I've kind of gotten into collecting photographs of people eating bananas at the turn of the century.
So how about that? How crazy is that?
Yeah, so
yeah, you said at the turn of the century?
Yeah.
Isn't like that something? I wouldn't imagine that people eat bananas at the turn of the century. I mean, I wouldn't think they'd be exported to our country.
Well, they were introduced to the American public at the 1876 Philadelphia Exposition.
I thought it was 1878. It's 76. How about that? I had a stat wrong. I'm sorry about that.
And
hey, isn't that something? I had a stat wrong. Yeah. Somebody tell the stats.
How about that? You make a mistake when it's a pre-interview. I don't get that at all. But were they popular as soon as they were introduced?
They were kind of expensive. They were selling for a dime each, which I guess back then was pretty expensive.
How about that? A dime each for a banana.
Now, you know, the turn of the century was 7 years ago. How about that? How about that?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's true if you really think about it
that
way.
You're talking about the other one, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the other
one. Isn't that something?
So
I mean, that you got the years mixed up.
If somebody comes to bananamuseum.com, that's your website.
Yeah.
They'll find out, I mean, is it informative, educational? Is it banana oddities? What exactly is the museum filled with?
Well, I've got some facts on there. And it's some pictures of my finds, or you'll see pictures of the ones I was talking about, eating bananas.
Would you tell us some facts? Would you please tell us some fun facts?
When the immigrants landed at Ellis Island in the late 1800s, they were given bananas, too, and some folks had never had a banana.
How about that?
They didn't know how to eat them, so they eat them whole with the skin.
Ooh. Oh, really? And can you eat a banana whole with the skin?
Well, I've never tried to do that, but
I would think with your, you know, knowledge of all these bananas, you might have tried that once or twice.
Well,
that'd be pretty crazy. How about that, if you would eat a banana?
I would imagine you'd be very sick.
I would think so.
What else do you have in your collection besides pictures?
I've got cookbooks and ceramic things and jewelry. And
how about that?
A lot of advertising things from Chiquita.
Isn't that something? I love Chiquita bananas. Do you like banana pudding?
Oh, I love it.
Isn't that something? I love banana pudding, too.
I would have to say that my favorite would be banana cream pie. How about that? Do you like banana cream pie?
Oh, love it. Love it. I love anything with bananas in it.
Isn't that something? You got three people here that love bananas.
and not to take this down a road that we don't go on this show, but bananas, also, we're adults here. Kind of erotic, huh? How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that. Isn't that something? I would say that. You ever get any curiosities for, with eroticism or anything like that?
Oh, I have a few things, but I try to...
Oh, how about that? We knew that, didn't we? Huh?
I thought you might be worried. You might be a banana purist. You wouldn't want to go down that road.
Well, I've got a very, very small portion of the collection that deal with that.
How about that?
How about bruised bananas? How about that?
I've got a desiccated banana.
Oh, really? Is it just all withered up and dried up in a corner?
Isn't that something? What is it again?
It's desiccated.
Now, how much does
How
much does a banana shrink when it's desiccated?
It shrinks up quite a bit. It's just kind of a little scrawny thing.
How about that?
I see.
Isn't that something?
I see, but that was not competition.
I know. Tell us more about your museum. Isn't that something?
Luck of the draw.
I understand.
Let's see. The Banana Museum.
We've gone more than 5 minutes, everybody knows. You know that?
Really?
Do you think anybody's still listening?
I'm not sure.
The Banana Museum has lots of interest. Lots of people are visiting the website.
Well, I will be a horse's ass.
Yeah? And sending me questions. A lot of school kids ask me questions.
How about that? Kids are precocious.
They really are. Well, we look forward to visiting your banana museum. This has been fascinating. I mean,
we've loved having you on the show.
Isn't that
today
something when we get somebody who loves, just a simple thing like bananas? And we'll urge our listeners to go and visit your museum.
And we brought up that thing about erotic. And how about that? She played along.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We really do.
She was a good sport.
And a banana.
All right. It's my pleasure.
How about that, huh?
Isn't that something? What a crazy name for that crazy lady.
Anna Banana, thank you so much. And go to bananamuseum.com.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
How about that, Anna Banana?
Isn't that something?
Hold on, please, Anna.
Okay.
How you doing?
No, not at all. No.
Not her fault.
She
could not have been nicer. I was thinking more about the kids, the retarded kids doing the play. That was the sound that comes to mind when there we go. That's what I was thinking.
Remember, everybody, this was not any kind of a competition.
I think we both did very well.
An exhibition.
I think we both did very well.
Isn't that something? How about that to its purest form?
And if you want to get behind the curtain of this, really, put yourself in our shoes, all right? We have to do this interview. If we do this interview just straight with this thing, we can't.
No.
If you expect us to, you're sorely mistaken.
We didn't have to do this interview.
We didn't have to do it, but I mean, there's only one way to do that interview.
Isn't that something?
And it's not even a real museum.
Either that or it'd just be one of those awful things why people hate us. We just get somebody on the phone and just tell them they're retarded.
Uh-huh. I'd rather have them go away not knowing.
That's right.
Buzz, what was the total now? This is a Don and Mike production. Team Don and Mike.
I like this way better because it's more of a challenge.
Yeah. The team.
Because when we do the phony voices and we attempt to jam them in there, first of all, the person gets hip to it very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And also, you and I are so ultra-competitive.
That we just say it for no reason whatsoever.
It ends up just being, how about that, how about that, how about that,
exactly.
How about that, how about that.
Exactly. The creativity comes in actually creating a little dialogue where we have to say it.
What was the total there, Buzzy?
The team can be very proud. Isn't that somethings? And how about that's totaled 45
very
in that
good.
Interview.
Bravo.
Break them down into each category, please.
I actually did not. It was, I'll tell you, it was pretty evenly divided. For just about every isn't that something, there was a how about that. So split it down the middle. And I counted three what I'd call other declarations.
How about that? She doesn't travel.
And that's something.
How about that?
Anna, suck on my banana.
There we go.
How you like that?
Thanks so much, lady.
Well done.
Go.
Good luck. Yeah, glad you closed the museum down.
There you go.
The museum that's probably in a rec room somewhere.
Very small part of it devoted to its phallic nature.
Yeah, of course.
Just a small part.
She didn't shy away from eroticism.
How about that? Well, she's no stranger to the erection.
And a banana.
God almighty, help us all.
All right. And the reviews pour in.
Here they come.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I know what you're saying. Author, please, stop bringing us roses. I'd like to remind you, the Writers Guild is on strike. Oh, yes. Soundboard guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hello.
Is that William Shatner?
Yes.
Is this you, Fred?
Damn, you got me.
I sure am hungry.
Stand up and be a man. You're embarrassing yourself.
It's Jack Bauer.
Mm. I sure am hungry.
I don't think you're going to get
Why
it.
Why not?
Can we hear some Fred Rogers?
No.
You're not the same guy that does Fred Rogers?
I'm a walking cliche.
This is the Fred Rogers guy.
Damn, you got me.
Yeah, so come on. What do we have to eat today?
No one you'd ever notice. I don't run in your circle.
We're hungry and we want a snack. That's all we want.
I get the orders here, don't I?
All right. No, you do not get the orders.
I want to talk to that tramp named Lady Elaine right now, and I want her to make me some popcorn, or this call is over.
Lady Elaine.
I'm beginning to hate the soundboard guy more and more. I truly am. Boy, we are so hungry.
Oh, thank you for telling me. I was just making some popcorn.
We had to wait too long for that. We had to wait too long. And he calls when he wants to call.
Easily, that was his worst effort yet.
And he calls when he wants to call. No respect for the flow of the show. That's after right. That stimulating interview with Anna Banana.
Right.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hey. What's up, man?
Track lighting, man. How about with you, man?
Hey, how about that? That was the best damn segment ever. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Stop,
number one fan.
Stop patronizing us. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, this is Anna Banana's brother, Enos. Parents call me Enos Penis.
What?
Doesn't even work, sir.
What are you doing?
Oh.
What are you doing?
How long have you been making aircraft?
There he goes. You know, all we wanted to do was get some nice reviews for our little Anna Banana interview, and we've gotten the soundboard guy and this guy, you know, with their own agendas, and it's been very frustrating.
Thank you for telling me.
And this guy's not hung up. Oh, nope.
Hollywood Produce.
My God, that's the worst phone in the world. Try it again. What?
They're just having fun with produce.
Yeah, but what you said didn't make any sense.
Didn't work.
Enos. Well, she was Anna Banana, Enos Penis. It was, I'm just taking it to the gutter.
Oh, yeah, really taking it to the gutter.
Well, you being a shock jock?
Real blue humor there.
Who is this, Howard Stern?
No, sorry.
What are you doing? What are you? Hold on a second. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm just.
We're doing a radio show. You're killing us here. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I think he's.
I'm sorry, radio gods.
Who are you talking to?
Hello, who are you talking to there?
Yeah, why are you not paying attention? Are you listening to yourself on the radio?
You called us.
Yeah, I was listening to the whole Anna Banana interview.
Yeah, but right now, during this conversation, when you called us, when there were these enormous pauses and then we would hear another voice, were you turning up the radio or were you talking to somebody?
I think he was talking to somebody.
No, I was turning it down. I thought I was talking to you, but we were kind of talking over each other.
Yeah, that's Mike and I really got to work on that because, you know, we're just not good at taking phone calls.
It's a sense you develop.
We're just not good with the timing thing. We're working on it. We've only been working together 23 years.
Oh, a thousand pardons.
A thousand pardons, yeah. I thought I'd take it in the blue. Enos penis.
Boy.
A thousand penises.
Fracturingly funny.
Hey, hello.
I was just suffering along with you.
You're not helping us. Do you understand that?
Although when you say you're suffering, how are you suffering along with us?
Well, talking to that banal museum lady, she was
banal.
I felt your pain. I'm sorry.
There was okay, douchebag. There was no pain. Now I will pull the curtain back completely. That was a brilliant bit, in my humble estimation. Brilliant and funny. Brilliant and funny. Brilliant and funny.
And then it was sliced and diced and murdered by the soundboard guy, and then final nail in the coffin comes from you.
You said you feel our pain. We felt no pain. We felt good about the segment. It was a good segment.
No, it was very clever of you.
Then what pain are you feeling? Otherwise, it's the pain of just another ass who, in this time, knows he's on the air. You don't even have the goddamn lame excuse that I'm so tired of hearing. Well, you guys sound so much different. No! No, we sound exactly the same. And you know you're on the air, and you're still a major dumbass. Now, what pain is it that we can help you with? Or what pain is it that you want to help us with?
The pain I was attempting to describe was the pain you were feeling at having to play it straight.
No, that was the bit. The banal, as you put it, nature of the interview was the source of the humor, you see.
And where
the humor was removed is when you called with the anus penis thing. It just wasn't funny enough.
Yeah, and anus penis...
It was about as funny as Anna Banana. That's all I was getting at it.
Well, hold on now. Hold on now. Let's get back to this.
Yes.
Did you or did you not like the segment Isn't That Something?
Yes, I did. I did.
Well, then what's your problem, Dick?
Oh, I was just adding a little color.
Adding a little color. It sounds like that Bruno Kirby tape that we play. I, too, like sitting around with my friends and swapping humorous stories.
The only color you're adding is brown.
You truly are. And sometimes it's frustrating.
Okay, well, I'm a desiccated banana. I'm sorry.
All right. He can't. His friends tell him he's funny.
He has no friends.
Do you have any friends?
Well, two less, apparently.
God, everything's going to be like wacky witticisms here, and you're not good at it.
I know.
Let us be the ones to tell you, please. This is the kind of guy you hear at like a wedding reception.
You could help him.
Oh, my God.
And before anybody out there wants to be Mr. Helper, I know we could have hung up on this guy three minutes ago, but it's like a hangnail. You ever have a hangnail and you got to get the clippers and you got to go at that baby and you got to just, it's driving you nuts. It's eating at that little hole in your sock. That's what you are. You're a hangnail on the toe of the Don and Mike show.
And you had to be dealt with.
I consider myself rebuked. Okay.
You know, I have no idea. I have no doubt that any of these countries that we are fighting with are going to come over here and kick our ass 87 different ways.
It's sad.
Because we are the greatest country in the world, mm-hmm. but we are also, hands down, the dumbest country in the world. I tell you what, friend, I will see you tonight for our big group watching of Deal or No Deal.
And it's these guys that just want to help. Yeah. That's the thing. In their mind, or at least that's the way they justify it to us, they just want to help.
What is the magic of Deal or No Deal, do you think?
Oh, it's the personality of Howie.
Always asking our friend Mike.
Oh, Professor Backwards? Okay. Yeah, well, I'll ask you, sir, what is the magic of that show?
I bet you love that show.
No.
What do you do for fun? Let's find out a little bit about you, because, you know, you started this, and we kind of have to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It was one bad joke. You beat me down.
Well, you deserved it, though. You deserved every bit of it.
You deserved more than just being beaten down by words.
They let you off easy.
You deserve to be taken to Rikers Island. And someone should write on your forehead, you're a pedophile. That's what they should do to you.
Let's learn a little bit about you. Anything you'd like to share? I hear the silence right now. You're not hanging up.
You'd be bent over a urinal, and some guy would be saying, who's your daddy? You'd be saying, all I did was call the Don and Mike show.
What's his favorite TV show? What's your favorite TV show? Good question, Rob. Sir?
Probably The Office.
All right. That's
what
very
kind
funny
of work
show
do you do?
How do you follow The Office? It doesn't have a laugh track. How do you know what's funny?
Okay. You ripped the hangnail out. Now you're pouring lemon juice in. Okay.
Yes. It needs acid now. It needs sulfuric acid also.
Explain to me how The Office is funny. Because it seems to me that you're the type of guy that would scream at the TV and go, I don't get it. There's no laughing. Why are they looking at the camera? And then you'd call Steve Carell at home to tell him that. You'd say, I was watching your show tonight. Man, I feel your pain.
You understand that sometimes an example needs to be made. You know that, right?
Gosh, Steve, it must be
apparently
awful. I feel your pain. You're having to do that show with no laugh track or that camera following you around all the time. Gosh, that's just not funny.
Do you work with computers?
No. I work with the public. It's scarier.
How old are you?
Rob wants to know how old you are.
Oh, I'm on the wrong side of 40.
The wrong side of 40. Please tell us what you do. I'm just curious.
What's funny about The Office?
Well, it's a good depiction. You have everybody you have in a normal office. You have the sycophant, you have the drunk, you have the suck-up, you have the incompetence.
It's, how do you follow that? That show's so complex, though.
He moves
too fast for me. You know what I like? I like 2.5 men. How about you? I think Jay Leno. Jay Leno is super, too.
He works with people, though. I'm still curious.
Well, he could clean toilets, Mike. You work with people when you clean their toilets.
No, well, he's thrown some 25-cent words out there, so I'm curious as to what he does.
Yeah, but he's never been married.
Have you ever been married, sir?
Oh, all my life.
All your life.
Wow.
Now, what do you do? Can you just share in general what you do?
Your field?
Yeah, the field.
Insurance.
Now I'm really mad.
This would be
you.
Like the Grim Reaper showing up at your door to sell you
now
insurance.
Now I'm really, really mad at
an insurance salesman. My God, right now every insurance guy that's got a life is listening to the show going, oh, you're killing us all. Mm-hmm. You're killing every insurance guy in the world.
He makes his own hours, right? You can kind of go and come and go as you please?
No, not sales.
Oh, so you're not in sales. Oh, so you're actually in the real mechanism of insurance.
He's an actuary.
Are you an actuary?
No.
So tell me something. I've always wanted to ask someone in the insurance business. What's it like taking money from people's dreams? What's it like taking money and saying, you're going to get this when you die. You're going to get this when you die. But the whole time you're making money on that money.
Are you in the life side of it or are you casualty and property?
Casualty.
What does that mean?
That means he...
Please don't answer. I would like him
sorry
to answer. What does casualty mean?
Well, the claim side.
Claim.
So are you an adjuster?
Yeah, of sorts, yeah.
Are you the guy, if I have a car wreck, do you come and take a picture of my car?
Among other things, yeah.
Among other things. Upskirt videos?
No, I mean, cars, houses, whatever it is.
Have you ever worn a tie with a short sleeve dress shirt?
Oh, every day, Rob.
No.
The
right
truth.
Now.
Never.
Honestly?
Never.
Summer?
That would be Radio Shack.
Well, maybe you do it and you put on the coat and you think no one's going to know because you're wearing
it. I liked that would be Radio Shack. I did. I'm sorry. I know my colleagues will turn against me now, but I did like that.
Can you describe your eyeglasses?
Big piece of tape right in the middle, right? Kind of like Charlie Sheen in that baseball movie, Major League.
A Wild Thing, yeah.
No, it's not
nothing like that.
Do you have any idea how badly I'd like to come through the phone and strangle you? I mean, really? Would you just stop and think about it? I'm not a violent man. I swear to God, I'm not. But right now, I would have the strength of 10 men. I would feel like the guy that sees the baby that's trapped underneath the car, and right. You know, you get the superhuman strength to lift up the car. I feel such venom for you at this moment. I could wring your neck with my hands and watch you wither away and die, and all I would probably do would be to go to the bathroom on you.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
And if I can explain the reason for that is that we are sitting here trying to put food on our table. That's what we're doing.
You're killing us.
We are trying to do our jobs.
I'm going to do that mobster thing to you. I'd cut off your ear and put it in your mouth, kind of as a message.
Or a Colombian necktie.
Yes, thank you, Mike. That'd be nice as well.
Because really, when you come into our territory, you know, we get kind of protected. Because we are trying to make a living here.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I truly do.
How about this?
I would like to burn you with my cigar. I would like to burn your genitals with my cigar.
Wow.
Ouch.
Wow. Right
on, I would like to put out my Fuente Opus X right on your taint.
Boy, bring that in for an appraisal, huh?
What's the deductible on that?
Then once we do that, we're going to play the good guys game. And this is where
you pretend
you're the manager at Good Guys.
Oh, the bouncer.
Yeah, the bouncer. And I'm the guy that's mad that you kicked me out.
I think it was the manager.
Well, either way, all I know is this cat ends up on fire.
What is your favorite dessert?
Well, it doesn't contain bananas, no.
No, don't be a wise ass. I'm asking you a real question. You could really make yourself look good here by answering, what is your favorite dessert?
How hard really do you think? Do you think you could kill a guy with a butter knife?
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you referred to as the office clown or the office stain?
Going back to the
1,000.
Going back to the show, The Office, you're the fat, bald guy, right? You got to be.
No.
What was that? Okay. As I dream about poking out your eyes with a plastic fork one would take
you
on a
You see,
picnic?
The more dead air, the more Dom wants to poke out your eyes and burn you.
Well, I'm just trying to apologize and withdraw gracefully.
Well, you know, there's really one way to do that. You know that, don't you?
He does, but he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't know. What do you think that way is?
Is it to say my mom's the mayor of Whoretown?
Nope. Oh. That's not what I was getting at.
Cut off.
That's
each.
Not what I was getting at, and I'm trying to be in control over here.
Cut off each of your diseased toes and feed them to you. Then I would take the insurance policies for those families that you've built out of all of those their life savings, and I would make you eat every insurance policy, literally eat it until it came out the other end, and then we'd start all over again.
Please don't tell me that you handle medical claims.
No.
Thank God.
And then I would take you down to, is it Suwanee, Georgia? Is that where my buddy Mike Vick lives?
Suwanee.
I would take you down there, and I would find some of Mike Vick's dogs.
The ones that are left?
Strip you naked, shave your body down, and cover you with peanut butter, and throw you in a room with all those dogs. After I choked you, and stabbed you with a butter knife and popped out your eyes with a plastic fork from a picnic.
Would you boil him in hot dog water?
But here's the important thing. You'd have him back to the office by Monday.
Mm. Yeah.
You bet.
Because you like to keep the American engine of industry and insurance hitting on all eight cylinders.
Have you had a good time with the Don and Mike show today, son?
Oh, I haven't had this much fun since my last root canal.
How are your teeth?
God, he's still doing it. You just can't say die. You can't do it. Okay. Are you an amateur comedian? Do you perform at your church hall?
No, even worse. I did college radio. I'm sorry.
You did college radio.
Yes. Band failed miserably, okay?
Right now, what I'm wishing for you.
I feel a prayer coming on.
And you know, here's what makes me mad. People are going to consider us bullies for this because they're not going to understand either. They're not going to understand that we're simply trying to feed our families. They're not going to get it. They're not going to understand it. All you people right now that think we're being way too harsh, pound sand.
I need some research on this. I'm not really an expert when it comes to this. What is the nicest form of cancer?
Like the nicest form? I don't think there is
most
one.
Pleasant?
I really don't think there is
if
one.
If you had to pick one, though, what's the best of the worst?
Jesus, I have no idea. I can't answer that question. I always think you want to go with the worst.
Well, I mean...
Ball! Come on now. Don't pussyfoot around here.
I wish you ball cancer.
And that is the end of that.
There, I've said it.
How about uninsured ball cancer?
Uninsured.
I'm sorry, we can't cover that claim.
How would you rate your experience on the Don and Mike show today? On a scale of 1 to 10.
10 being best?
And don't try to be witty. Just give us a number.
Honest answer.
Honest answer.
Well, I'd give this a 1.
Oh, a 1. Okay.
A 1. What makes it a 1? How come it's not a flat-out 0?
Well, I'm chastised. I stand corrected, gentlemen. My apologies to the radio gods.
It took a lot of letter writing, but who had recorded it also.
Any plans for the weekend?
Just stay home and flagellate myself and penance.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, and use one of your one of your sensible belts to do that.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, you are a super listener. You're a superman.
We appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you for listening. What is your favorite radio show?
Don and Mike.
God right bless on. You. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Day. Have a nice weekend.
So long, friend.
Enjoy your ball cancer.
Now place that thing that's in your hand in the cradle, all right?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
There he goes.
Bye-bye.
You know, a lot of his slacks.
I'm going to say it again. All you people out there think we're being too hard on this guy.
No.
You have to understand.
No.
An example needed to be made.
Enjoy your free ball cancer.
You know, the thing is, right at the end, it was still, I haven't had this much fun since I had my last root canal.
Uh-huh.
You know, and seriously, in the insurance office, they're going, Phil.
Why is it that you and I cannot let a guy like that go?
Because sometimes
it should be beneath us, Mike, and it never is.
No. You know, here's the deal. Don't you think he was kind of reaping the rewards of 2 days ago? 2 days ago,
yeah.
When you shut the phones down. We couldn't let that happen to us again.
Mostly, though, you know what? If he has children, feel sorry for his children.
Oh, boy, because they're going to... No, feel sorry for all of his relatives, because they're going to be the recipients of that kind of humor at every possible family gathering.
No, they won't, because he has ball cancer now.
Maybe they'll have a tape of him to play at the funeral.
Let's break.
I haven't had that much fun since my last root canal.
Okay, B, right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Looks like baby vomit.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, Mike. No, that's quite all right, dear. Your father and I were just discussing his day at work. Why don't you tell our daughter about it, honey?
Janie, today I quit my job. And then I told my boss to go screw himself, and then I blackmailed him for almost $60,000. Pass the asparagus.
Your father seems to think this kind of behavior is something to be proud of.
And your mother seems to prefer that I go through life like a freaking prisoner while she keeps my in a mason jar under the sink.
How dare you speak to me that way in front of her? And I marvel that you can be so contemptuous of me on the same day that you lose your job.
I didn't lose it. It's not like, whoops, where'd my job go? I quit. Someone pass the asparagus.
Oh, and I want to thank you for putting me under the added pressure of being the sole breadwinner now.
I already have a job.
No, don't give a second thought as to who's going to pay the mortgage. We'll just leave it all up to Carolyn. You mean you're going to take care of everything now, Carolyn? Yes, I don't mind. I really don't. You mean everything? You don't mind having the sole responsibility? Your husband feels he can just quit his job and you don't...
Will someone
who's
please
gonna pay the
ask me
bill?
The freaking
guys,
asparagus?
I'm not going to be a part of this.
Shut up!
Oh, hi.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Woo! I gotta say, Mrs. Burnham, when you first came here, I thought you would be hopeless. But you're a natural.
Well, all I know is I love shooting this gun.
Just as cute as a peyote button. The Don and Mike Show.
There we go. Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
We're doing great. Now, you sound like the average idiot that calls the show. I hope you don't mind. I say that with love. I want to address something. We've got a couple of emails about it. DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Okay.
This is an unscreened. This is an unscreened call.
Okay.
This chap, who seems to be about as bright as anyone that calls the show, seems to have no problem figuring out that he's talking to us.
Who are you talking to right now?
I'm talking to you.
Very good. See, it's not that difficult.
I mean,
right.
It gets frustrating. I accept the criticism of people who will write us or call us. Oh, you guys are jerks. You're beating up on someone. But we've received a couple of emails over the last couple of days saying your equipment must be faulty, that people obviously cannot hear you. No, this is not the problem. The problem is when you have – if somebody calls in, and first off, as we've said a million times, you hear a very distinctive whoosh.
Right.
You hear the sound of a radio show going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When you hear that, and if you still are dumb is an ugly word. If you're so naive, if you're not suave enough to know you're on the radio, and you're thinking to Joe, well, maybe after 5 minutes with three different guys with three different sounding voices,
right,
all saying they're Joe. Uh-huh. Wouldn't you think maybe the problem is not our telephone?
No, I think of course it's not.
The guy on the telephone.
Of course it is. And see, this guy right away, you knew you were talking to us.
He knew.
Here's proof right here.
And what can we do for you?
I just want to know, I called twice and somebody hung up on me twice. I thought that was very unfair.
Very unfair. What kind of accent is that? That's a unique accent you got there.
It's called the crazy accent.
Crazy accent. Yeah. Salute.
Crazy listener. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. How y'all doing?
Oh, look, it's another one.
It's another crazy. Well, these are the brave souls that come on right after we've had that talking to.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, fruitcakes. What's happening?
Hi there. We are Nutty S Fruitcakes. Now, again, let me just point out, all of these people calling in have no problem realizing that it's us.
Immediately.
Yes.
I'm gonna throw that out there. Seriously, if you are bright enough to listen to this show, to hear the phone number, and call up, and you can't figure out on the air, you're a major league dumbass. Go ahead.
I even live in Sacramento.
Listen to you. And you know, and I, once again, Rob, I know you'll hate this, but have to tip my hat to this guy a little bit. You know, because
my family and I, we love Jankum. Especially,
and this is a guy that's under the influence of a new narcotic. Jankum.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I forgot Sacramento.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, what's happening?
Is this me?
Oh, that's another of our pesky rules.
It's just a pet peeve.
We really don't have that many.
Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. A lasuka, spelled L-A-S-U-K-A, in Swahili means gag or prank or joke.
Really?
Spell it again.
L-A-S-U-K-A.
Unfortunately, that's not the word or the name that we used. L-U-S-A-K-A. Lusaka.
L-U-S-A-K-A.
What the hell are you doing with the phone? Is the phone in your pants?
Yeah, what are you doing with the phone?
It's in my pants.
No, come on. Stop moving the phone around.
And Lusaka is in the Garden Township of Zambia.
L-U-S-U-K-A.
L-U-S-U.
Yeah, well, that's wrong.
That's Lusaka.
That's Lusaka. I'm talking about Lusaka. That's L-U-S-A.
And one of Rob and my favorite desserts is Moussaka. That's
right. My bad.
Indeed. Oh, that's another rule broken. It's Break the Rules Thursday.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. How y'all doing?
Stop it now, people. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don's and Mike. I'm on the radio. I was just calling to let you know that I was on the radio, and I know I'm on the radio.
All right,
good.
Don and Mike show. Hi there.
Found a new toy. Grab a Playboy and some Vaseline in my room.
Wow.
In my room.
Found a new toy. Grabbed a Playboy And in some Vaseline. Room. That's very nice.
In my room.
I bet Brian Wilson did that a lot. Do you think he did? Do you think he was together enough when he had that whole in my room stage to maybe...
Involuntary.
Clean up on aisle four.
Mother?
Mother, come on now.
Mother Wilson?
It's just like when the kitty litter gets damp.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, you know the thing I love about Jankum is that you let it sit in the sun like you're making, you know, brewing sweet tea.
That's a Jankum is still the object of a lot of discussion.
America's
today.
Hot topic.
Buzz's BBC hoax. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Me and the Brits.
Hey, you can just tell that AHAP from before that Joe hangs up on everybody, so to get over himself.
Very good.
Honey,
have a great day, guys.
Hold on. Please stay on the line for one moment. I would just like to use all of these callers as examples. You're not screened. Did you have any problem figuring out that you were on the radio, that you were talking to us?
No. I know what Joe sounds like. I called him plenty of times.
All right. Okay. And, you know, the funny thing is people that call frequently make the same mistake.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I had no problem understanding who I was on the air. I got a quick question for you.
Yes,
I got an interview in the morning, and I wanted to know what knot I should tie, the four in hand or the full Windsor?
What knot?
Oh, if you can tie the full Windsor.
Mike, I had to let him go.
Was that a clever use of the phrase, what knot?
He was just breaking another rule there.
I know, but he did it in a nice way. And I've always wanted to be able to tie a full... Can anybody in this room tie...
A double
Windsor?
No,
I knew you could.
I can
could.
Do a double Windsor.
What?
I knew you
How
could.
Do I win?
Hello? I knew you could.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Of course you could.
That was a trap.
No, it really wasn't, Rob. I swear to God, until you raised your hand and said you could tie the full Windsor. Now, you can tie a full Windsor?
Yeah.
I can also tie a bow tie.
Hello?
Don and Mike, hello. Don't worry, Mike. I can't do nothing. I'm with you. Hello?
Hello?
Don and Mike Show.
How are you guys doing? I just want to say this is my first time listening to your show, and I like you.
Thank you very much.
Do you tie a Windsor knot, Rob, when you go out? When you wear a tie?
I can't. I have to wear a half Windsor, or the tie is too short.
Okay. All right. Because you need more...
Because remember, I'm much fatter than you.
Are you ready for a compliment?
Yeah.
Do you know who taught me how to tie a tie?
Who's that?
Mike O'Mara.
Yep. And I do that. I guess I would do the half Windsor. That's really what I would do. The full Windsor is the greatest knot in the world if you know how to tie it.
I remember this really like it was yesterday. It was one of those things that for my whole life I never knew how to do. Mm-hmm. Frida would tie my ties for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we had an appearance. Mike would tie a tie, you know, mm-hmm. when you leave it real big and mm-hmm. I put it around the neck.
And I would actually reach around Don and help with the tie. And then he'd always say, "What is that?" And then I'd have to back off.
Stop with the reach around. But one day, seriously, we're in a bathroom.
Right.
Right after we got done making love.
Right.
And you said, "You don't know how to tie a tie, really." And I said something like, you know, "Of course I don't. That's why you tie my ties." And you said, "Watch."
Yeah.
In the mirror.
Yeah.
And it was like, over, through, over, mm-hmm. boom, mm-hmm. and
right.
bingo.
Yeah, and but the Windsor knot is a little more complicated. And the thing about the Windsor knot, it is the perfect knot.
It is.
It looks a little conservative, but I mean, if you see a Windsor knot
tied
perfectly,
symmetrical,
it really looks
very
awesome.
Symmetrical.
I think that's. I can't imagine how long the ties must be, but when Shannon Sharp is on the CBS NFL show, that's the knot he ties. Uh-huh. I think
he ties a Windsor knot
because it's huge. It's like a filet mignon around your knees.
Just one more step beyond the.
I like a nice really? Colonel yeah. Sanders. What do you call those?
String tie.
String tie.
Sure.
That's nice.
Don't
though.
Even have to worry about the knot then.
I like when a string tie has a nice big jewel on it, like a cowboy boot.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Howdy.
Hey, I just want to let you know I've done Jenka a lot of times, even with the whole family, and I've never gotten high off those wooden blocks.
Oh, Jenga. That's a Jenga joke. Perhaps we were a little hypersensitive. We were hypersensitive because of the insurance guy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Ooh, I'm on. Can you hold on for a second while I call my wife and tell her I'm on the radio? Oh, my God.
All right, people get it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hi, Don.
Yes, and Mike. We're all here.
Hey, I was going to tell you, I'm calling you guys from the Jenga capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, a lot of it in Las Vegas. Uh-huh. Especially near the Wynn Casino when you walk by it.
You can smell it by the slot.
Yeah.
This guy's full of it.
You know, if that was true, people in New Orleans would be high all the time because that city always smells
like
that.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a methane odor to it.
And really, think about it. Think about the heat and humidity of New Orleans.
Well, no, the best example is if that was true, if this was not an urban legend, I would have started the show high today.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
If you could put a balloon over the entire French Quarter.
Hello.
Don, are you ready for a compliment?
Always, sir. Go ahead.
You are a goddamn genius.
Thank you. Let's end that call right there.
What a perfect time to end it.
Hi, Don and Mike show.
What's going on, guys? How you doing, Don and Mike?
You're a goddamn genius.
We're doing great. What's happening?
I just want to say I love you guys, love the show, and Anna Banana Bit was the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Please don't patronize us, though.
We appreciate it, though.
Because then, you know, we go through that weird thing. People call, and they're nice, and then we think you're just patronizing.
Oh, we get them all in a tizzy. We get them all upset. We get them all spinning out of control.
Embarrassing and uncomfortable.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
I can tell I want on. Woo-hoo!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
BM Eaters, what is up?
Hi there. What's happening, BM Eater?
Actually, I just wanted to call to talk to Joe.
Did you put funny.
Okay, you know, yeah.
Funny. First funny in a long time. Good for him.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, baby.
Hi there. Hey, what's happening, honey?
Not much. You know, you guys were talking about tying a tie. Can you tie a cherry stem?
Well, I do the trick. You know what the trick is?
What's the trick?
Well, you know, when somebody's not looking, you take the maraschino cherry stem and you tie it in a knot, and then you put it in your mouth, and then you take another one, and you actually pull it out of the cherry when somebody's not looking, and then you take just the one that's got the knot in it, and you present that to somebody.
I've heard that's how you find out if a girl sucks D.
Can anybody really do that with their tongue?
A couple people in my family can.
I think so.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But what's really good, my Uncle Dana can do it with a pumpkin stem.
Get out of here. He's always got some wacky uncle, doesn't he?
His crazy uncle.
My nutty uncle.
He's got a crazy uncle. They call him Hercules Tongue.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, 382nd fan here. Love the sports. Love you telling us what they're wearing. Their jerseys are so cute.
You're funny. Get out.
382nd fan.
All right, we have Dog the Bounty Hunter stuff to get through.
Yeah. Very good.
Also, Mike, you worry too much. That segment is coming up.
Yep.
But first, let's follow up on the Colts. Real quickly about the Colts throwing in audio during the game against the Patriots.
That was the accusation by the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. On Sunday. Now, this tape we have is not a goof tape, right?
No, that's the real deal. That's from the CBS.
All right, so please listen to this very seriously.
Okay.
We do have it isolated. You can hear Nance. You can hear the crowd noise in the background. And listen as it goes, ah, 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 ah.
Like a skipping CD.
Here it is now from CBS on Sunday.
And Moss open on the slant. Down to the Colts 42.
Whoa.
13-10 game starting this final quarter.
It's a kind of feedback.
Well, then that's complete crap. That's worse to me than Spygate.
We are tricky. We're not tricky enough to have put that tape together. If you listen to it again, Jim Nance's voice is heard distinctly over the crowd noise, which is that repeat echo, that wow, 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 wow.
Wow.
And Moss open on the slant. Down to the Colts 42. 13-10 game.
Oh, and listen how quiet it gets after they turn it off.
Mm-hmm. It's a kind of feedback, a slapback, I think they call it.
Oh, my God.
It's almost like if someone's got the pod on the board open and you're getting that return audio.
Exactly what it is.
And then they turn it down and you get the real crowd noise, which is nothing.
And Moss open on the slant. Down to the Colts 42. 13-10 game starting this final quarter.
Pretty interesting, huh?
You know, I shouldn't say this, but I'm just thinking about what they do on CBS for golf when they sometimes put the sound effect at the Masters of the birds and stuff like that.
Right, like that.
That guy. That wouldn't be. No, there's CBS doesn't have any need to put in audio.
No, it's not CBS. In that case, CBS sweetens it for the Masters, but they're alleging that it's the RCA dome.
Wow.
Where the Colts play.
Have they answered it yet? Has there been any comment by the Colts?
No, there's been nothing. Let me see.
That's pretty nasty if they're doing that crap.
WBZ Boston photojournalist Brian Foley says an RCA Dome security guard told him Sunday they do enhance the crowd noise. He's been covering sports for more than a decade. It was almost silence when the Colts had the ball. Noise was so bad, Patriots had to go. He asked the guard about it, said, you go home with a headache at night because it's loud. And the guy said, I don't know if you know this, but they actually pick up the crowd noise and pump it back through the PA.
Well, I'm going to say something that's probably going to be a little controversial here, but you know what? People in Baltimore know that family probably is capable of that crap.
And Moss, open on the slant, down to the Colts 42. 13-10 game starting this
for
final
all our,
quarter.
For all our folks up in Baltimore, Sneaky, thy name is Ursay.
God, isn't that awful, though? If you're gonna
and you know that's got to come from the top.
If you pipe in the crowd noise, it's just like it's that bad return audio.
Yes.
I've heard it done at a concert before. When I saw the Monkees at Wolf Trap about 5 years ago, I heard loud cheering, and I looked behind, and no one was moving. And they had cheering and applause coming out.
But this is directly, I mean, this directly
this is strategy.
Influences the game. Oh. You cannot hear the signals being called. That's a huge deal. I think this is going to grow. I mean, this has got to get to be a bigger story.
It's not the first time Indianapolis has been accused. The Steelers complained about the same thing mm-hmm. in 2005. Other teams have informally contended that it's artificial noise that's pumped into the Colts dome.
Yeah, I mean, and what, talk about something you don't need to do.
Right.
Okay, here's what the Colts said. We trust this will put an end to the ridiculous and unfounded accusations that the Colts artificially enhanced crowd noise at the RCA dome. And here it is again.
And Moss, open on the slant, down to the Colts 42. 13-10 game starting this final quarter.
Wow. Well, listen, you can doctor tapes, but that sure does sound to me like they were screwing with the crowd.
It sounds like there's a DVD, a CD going in the background there that's skipping.
Are we going to have JB on tomorrow?
We are.
All right. Tomorrow we'll play that for our buddy James Brown.
Fantastic.
And find out what's happening. Okay, so when we come back, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, but next, Mike, the segment is called You Worry Too Much.
I don't think so.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buenos dias.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You can get... Oh, I sound like...
Oh, hold on. Have you heard? This is Hillary Clinton. Our next president, Hill. And boy, she got the vish throat.
Okay.
Listen to this.
You can get... Oh, I sound like Tallulah Bankhead.
Oh, listen to that, Hill. Hillary.
I will. That's one thing you know about me. I hang in there.
You remind me of my sister. Are you also a prostitute?
Like paying for sex with a bad hooker. The Don and Mike Show.
Speaking of hookers, right.
You remind me of my sister. Are you also a prostitute? I like her very much, this lady. Whoa, 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 whoa. I look on her sometimes and imagine her with no clothes.
Right, me too, Borat.
A lot of perverts in here.
We're having a party, aren't we?
Coming up next, it looks like a potential predator party.
Hi. Is there a Dateline going to drop that to catch a predator thing?
Oh, really? Any particular reason for that?
Yep. Well, there's no word why, but Perverted Justice, which mm-hmm. is the group that runs the thing,
yeah.
They are. They says that NBC. They say NBC has expressed uncertainty as to whether they will continue to work with them.
Lawsuits, maybe.
Yeah. There are documents filed by Perverted Justice with the IRX. The IRS. I'm sorry. They each get $120,000 a year, the people who work at Perverted Justice. Last year, NBC paid them $800,000 for 7 shows, so they got about $115,000 per sting operation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so and it goes to the organization, right? Not to individuals?
Now that means that half the income went to salaries for 3 people.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Yeah.
So ooh, that's a little hinky.
Maybe it was all their fancy computers. I'm not really sure, but there seems to be a disconnect now between Dateline and the Predator show.
It also would seem to me, when I saw the first episodes of that, it seemed like they were a kind of a public service. I always thought those were volunteers that were doing this.
I'm guessing a lot of the money goes towards meat and cheese. If you've seen that main volunteer that spends a lot of time
the super fat guy.
Yeah, that spends a lot of time online.
Right.
You go naked in bed when I see you Sunday.
I know, Chris. I know what you like.
I like rape.
I know you do.
Well, you know, the only thing about it is even without NBC, the fact is they'll still be able to do their work and nail those guys, I would think.
Right. Yeah, but we won't get the great tapes anymore.
We won't have the entertainment value.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
Okay, cats, let's welcome Michael Mara to today's episode of...
Hi, everyone.
You worry too much.
How's everybody doing?
Hi, Mike.
Nice to see each and every one of you.
Let's see if I have some music for this, Mike.
Okay, very good.
Well, here you go. We'll just use the
It's my nature.
We'll
I'm a warrior.
The same music we just used coming out of a break. Right. Welcome to You Worry Too Much.
Thank you.
He's a talented mimic.
Hi.
Radio's number one aper.
It's good to be with you today.
A funny man in his own right, a restaurateur.
Good afternoon.
And no stranger to the ways of love.
How
here
are
he
you?
Is, the world's number one Red Sox fan, Mike O'Mara.
Nice to be with you today, Don. Thanks for having me.
Mike, thanks for joining us on...
You worry too much. Yes.
Now, here's why Mike is on You Worry Too Much,
okay.
Which is what I wrote down when I was talking with Mike during a commercial break a couple of hours ago.
Right. Hi.
Standing outside, looking at the world go by, and Mike says, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow night. I said, why? And he says, I'm going to the Marine Corps ball.
The Marine Corps birthday ball.
That's why I had to get the fat guy suits.
I believe it's the 232nd birthday of the Marine Corps.
Wow. There's Mike speaking now. He says to me.
Started at a bar in Philadelphia.
So that's why I had to go get the fat guy suit. I had to go get a new suit to go to this gala tomorrow night.
Right.
What's the problem? He said, well, I'm a fat middle-aged guy going with my hot young girlfriend.
Right.
And there's going to be nothing but big, strong, horny Marines everywhere.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? No, I'm a little on edge. You know, I'm going to be in this room. You got me, you got Carla, you got our friends that we're going with, the lieutenant colonel that I'm going with. And then, I just picture, a bunch of dressed up trained killers. You know, it's frightening to me, really. And, he sent me an email today.
The show is called You Worry Too Much. Our guest today is Mike O'Mara, who apparently is worried that his girlfriend will run off with a Marine tomorrow.
Well, my friend sent me a little email today where they were listing 232 things about the Corps, and one of the things on there was body fat and percentage of body fat. And I realized that the Marine Corps, more so than any other branches of the service, I think, physical fitness is their big deal. I mean, and you always hear about the 72-year-old Marine.
You're a goddamn genius.
You know, that got accosted and took down, 18-year-old kids because he's a Marine.
Uh-huh. With his bare hands.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm not to take anything away from any other branches of the United States military, but Marines are Marines, okay? Uh-huh. Marines have that aura about them. They have the whole reputation of being Marines. No such thing as an ex-Marine, only a former Marine.
Tomorrow night, as they are surrounding Carla,
yes,
and she is making love to each of them, they will probably say, we keep the world safe. When the S hits the fan,
yeah, and really, I mean,
call the Marines now.
And
kiss me hard.
I should say that I trust my wonderful lady implicitly. I'm just worried about the whole scenario. You know, as I'm sitting there in this room, and I know it's going to be a festive event. I think that this is these are guys that have been on the front lines defending our country, and
this is
their big party. This is their big birthday party. They're going to go out and they're going to party hardy. And we know that Marines know how to party.
Festive is Mike's code for drinking.
Of course there is. Yes,
drinking tomorrow night.
I think I'm going to be drinking water tomorrow night. I think I'm going to be drinking just water. And I think I'm going to be on, I'm going to have cat-like reflexes. I'm going to be on my guard all evening. And, I'm scared. Okay, there it is. I'm scared. I'm scared of the big, burly Marines.
On this edition of You Worry Too Much,
yes.
Mike, let's look at why you're worried so much.
Well, it's a tie-in to the other day when we were discussing, the way that I'm feeling very insecure lately about just the way I look, I'm my appearance. And that's why I went out and bought the fat suit, which I will be picking up tonight, be wearing in here tomorrow. And I'm just concerned about these things. These are the things that weigh heavily upon me. And I think, when your weight gets up a little bit, you get a little more insecure about the way you look. And here's the real reason, all right? I'm going to walk in there, and although I'm going to be in regular clothes, regular suit clothes,
yeah,
I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you nobody in that room is going to think that I'm a Marine.
Well,
I would take that bet.
You know? Yeah. No, so right there, I got a disadvantage. You know?
I don't know.
And I went out today, and I got an extra short haircut, and I was looking for maybe the you know, the short military-style haircut, and he ended up making me look like you know, Ryan Seacrest that put his finger in a light socket. It just, it came out wrong. And I, you know, I was going for maybe a conservative haircut. And look, look, I'm taking my headphones off now. Look what he gave me. He gave me, you know, this is like La Cienega Boulevard that I got on my head right now. It just, look, he did this whole thing here, and I, but I'm gonna comb it differently tomorrow. I don't know. I'm all a mess.
You shouldn't be.
I'm just a mess.
You worry too much.
Yes, you worry too much.
I worry too much, but you know what?
What is the biggest fear? What is the fear tomorrow night that your girlfriend will see these attractive men, or that these attractive men will show interest in your girlfriend?
That the men will, you know, these chiseled warriors will show interest in my girlfriend, and what if I, and you know me.
What about the vagina?
You know me, that I'm not the kind of guy that, you know, when I've had a cocktail or two that, you know, reacts kindly to these type of things. I'm not going to start a brawl.
Of course not.
Can't you already hear her saying this to you, though?
What?
You don't have to worry, because it takes two to tango.
Yes, of course.
And
we haven't even had this discussion. Earlier in the week, she showed me the dress that she's going to be wearing, and it's a very nice, conservative dress that she's wearing. It's very, but it's still, I looked at it, and, you know, it might have been conservative, but it's still, to me, it was just like, oh, okay, that's a beautiful dress you're wearing. Yeah, probably the, you know, gorgeous little dress.
Did you have?
Meanwhile, I'm going to be wearing Jackie Gleason's suit.
Did you have the thought, why don't you just walk in naked?
Can I tell you something about
Jackie? Why don't you just let them see the goods?
I think they'll be on their best behavior.
Can I tell you something about Jackie Gleason?
What's that?
He was rich, and he was funny.
Yeah, but
that's,
I mean,
what you have over these guys.
Mike is not rich.
I'm not rich, Buzz.
Well, they don't know that.
I could have been.
They don't.
I always
know
like to say that. That's a story from a long time ago.
Comparatively,
I could have been.
They don't know that.
When I write my own book, when I write my autobiography,
a contender.
I could have been rich. Mm. I could have been rich, but I want to have a good time. I want to go into this thing. Now, I've been to the Navy Ball too. I've been to that, and that was fine. If it's like the Navy Ball, I'm fine. It's gonna be cool.
Here's an icebreaker.
When
you're sitting down.
There are husbands and wives that are gonna be at this thing. There's gonna be brass there. This is gonna be. You know, it's not like we're going to a bar with a bunch of guys that just got off their second tour in Iraq. It's not gonna happen like that.
As they sit there in their dress blues.
Yes.
And you
best uniform, would you not agree? Best uniform in the military.
Kick-ass.
Yeah. Right?
Perhaps as you're reaching for a roll or asking them to pass the butter, you could discuss them with them in your new workout regimen.
I could do that, too. Uh-huh. No, here's the deal. I went to the Navy Ball.
Tell them how good you felt today after having gone 12 hours without eating anything bad.
I'll discuss that. I will, and I'll talk about all those wonderful things. But when I went to the Navy Ball, it wasn't even a thought process. There's something about Marines.
Yeah,
you know, there's something about Marines walk into a joint and I remember the guys that I grew up with that went into the Marine Corps.
Mike went
and I knew guys that went into the different branches of the service. The Marines, the Marines were different animals.
When there are guys up on that wall looking at Carla. Mm-hmm. I want you to know something.
On that wall. You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall. I think, I'm trying to think of the terms now from A Few Good Men.
You live in a world. It's something, whenever there's a problem, I go take care of it.
Do you think I should order a code red on Carla? You think I should do that right now? Isn't that what they say in A Few Good Men? Isn't that what it is?
Wouldn't a code red on a girl be something totally different?
I think it
though?
Might be. I think it might be totally different. I'm not sure.
I know it's short notice.
Yes.
But what if I got you a uniform?
No, they'd kill me if I did that.
Only if they found out.
You hear that kind of stuff where there aren't.
General O'Mara is
here. Even at the highest levels, do you see any fat Marines?
No. No.
You don't.
You know why?
Why?
They kill the fat ones.
Well,
come on back.
I am sure because I say this going into this, I have nothing but the utmost fear and respect for these individuals, and that's perhaps why I'm just a little edgy. You know?
That's what we call this segment. You worry too much. Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, honey.
How are you? Mike, you worry too much, darling. I've been to a couple of these Marine Corps balls, and you said you're going with a lieutenant colonel, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, if they have any respect for the lieutenant colonel, which they should have, if not respect, at least fear,
right,
they will not mess with cause in any way, shape, or form. Uh-huh.
Why does this not in any way make me feel at ease? Why does that, you know, she said
if there is
she said if, you mean if, they wouldn't? Give me my God, what's going on here?
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hello.
Yeah, turn that up, turn the background noise up, please. Roll all your windows down.
Well, I'm just in my truck. I just wanted to say that Michael Mayer don't have nothing to worry about because he's Michael Mayer, and that's why she's with him. And he's still going to be Michael Mayer after the Marine Corps ball, and they ain't got nothing more to offer her than he does.
That's the second.
You don't have education, and you can't hardly get a job.
That's the second reassuring call that has done nothing for me.
Huh.
That's the second reassuring call that has actually made me more nervous.
You're going to be Michael Mayer at the end of the night.
I am, indeed.
You're Michael Mayer right now.
You know, I've got two strategies here. Either I play it real cool and, you know, and maybe duck out a little earlier than my buddies, or I throw caution to the wind and plunge right into that, you know, that Marine Corps, you know, work hard, you know, play hard lifestyle.
Why don't you flirt with some of their wives?
Hey. Oh, you're not giving me any advice that wouldn't result in something terrible happening.
Say to Ma Colonel, you know, hey, may I take your twinkle toes out on the dance floor?
I don't think that would work. I don't think that would work. Well, I think that would be, you know, dancing would be, I think, you know, respectful, like at a wedding reception. Yeah. I think that would be acceptable. But, I mean, it wouldn't be like, you know,
would you let Carla dance with other guys?
Yes. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Now, you're looking at me like that might be a mistake. You think I shouldn't do that? Oh, well, I'm sitting at the table and I have line of sight.
No.
I think that would show that I'm a confident, you know, it would cover that insecure interior.
I agree.
Oh, enjoy yourself. Yes.
Huge mistake. No.
So she stays next to me the whole evening. All right, then I'm going to go with plan B, which means I will accompany her into the ladies' room.
Why does she want to dance with some jarhead she's never met before?
Well, I'm not worried about her at all. I think it would be, I don't know. Strategy C. Not A, not B. This is strategy C.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna drink so much I won't care.
Mm.
That's me.
Yeah, I understand.
That's a big part of me too.
It's gonna be. Oh look, Mike has passed out. Would you like to dance?
Why? He don't put his arm up like in that formal way, like a military wedding.
Sergeant Big One, I'd love to. And then as they're dancing. Do you carry a rifle in your pants?
No. I'm gonna have a great time.
Carla,
that is
a weapon of sorts.
I am actually going to really enjoy myself, and I'm gonna suck in my gut all night long. That's what I'm gonna do. You know. Well, really, these guys. I mean, the whole thing with the Marine Corps is the physical training,
right?
And that's the thing. God, you know,
G-A-R-D-L-E.
What's that?
I don't want to say it. You'd be offended.
I think you already did. I think you already did.
G-I-R-D-L-E.
You know what I'm going to do? Here's the thing, and I don't want to be the subject of much revelry. You know, when they're talking about, yeah, I remember when I was at Lejeune, you know, we had this incredible training regimen. You ever do anything like that, Mike? You know, and then I'll just be sitting there. Maybe I'll just eat more rolls.
I've been up on stage in front of 12,000 people and have like 50 girls flash their boobs at you. Take that, Semper Fi.
Hey, that's good. Yeah, write some of those down. I'll use some of those and actually see if I can make it happen.
I know you guys can like kill a man with one finger, but can any of you do the Charlie voice?
You can kill with comedy.
Hello! You know, that is a defense mechanism.
Sure it is.
That's like a chameleon when he changes colors. That's anything, you know what? That's the solution. If anything really bad happens,
just be
or
Charlie.
Not bad, nothing bad's going to happen. But if anything makes me really uncomfortable,
just uh-huh.
I'll just do the laugh. I'll just go into the, ha! Hello, Dress Blues.
And then also say, how's it going, Gomer?
Hello, Gomer. USMC. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Mike, you talk
they'll love it. They'll eat
be
it
carried
up.
Out. I hope it's a great time.
You
I'm
talk to your dad
to
about it
sure.
tomorrow. I know we will have more discussion tomorrow because Mike will be wearing the suit and be very uptight at the beginning
That's
of the show.
True. Yes.
Sam,
I'm not sure whether I should go with the 2-button or the 3-button. 2. Don says 3.
3.
Well, the 3 is 3. Is the black suit.
The bottom the bottom button is unbuttoned.
Okay, very good.
The 3-button. Bottom button, unbuttoned.
All right.
Pants
unbuttoned. And just a, you know, you think this will be out of line? Just a tiny little hat. You know, like the kind of hat Popeye Doyle wore in The French Connection.
Very small.
Just, you know, I'd sit there and then if somebody looks at me weird, I'll go, what?
How about a sailor hat?
a sailor hat.
Popeye hat.
No, Popeye.
Buzz, stand by for news, but we really got to get to this dog, the bounty hunter stuff. Coincidentally, it was yesterday about this time. We were playing at the tape of him stepping in it with Sean Hannity. Mm-hmm. Last night, he followed up. Our man, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
He's on the media blitz tour.
Followed up. The princess phones were ringing last night. Yes, me, were. Mike, Buzz, Rob, all of us discussing this as he once again promised he would kill himself if enough people said that they would forgive him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Said that he's enlisting Tony Robbins and also that he really wants a time. He wants God to make him a time machine so he can just go back.
Yeah. He liked those poll results that Larry had for him, though, didn't he? Yeah. He liked the poll results where people were saying he shouldn't be taken off the air.
So we've got a lot of Dog the Bounty Hunter to get to follow up on our discussion of yesterday.
And he has a real gift with the English language.
Smart guy.
He has a great way of expressing himself that I never get tired of.
At one point, he's sitting there with one of his sons, and Larry came. What's the first question? Why do you have a different name than your dad?
That's Curious Larry. Yeah.
But then Larry does ask one great question to the dumb son. Have you ever used the N-word? And the kid looks at Dog.
Sure.
And he's like,
for guidance.
Yes.
Yeah, they're you know, mea culpa. They're doing this big tour.
But only with my black friends.
Yeah, on the mean streets of Denver.
Oh, that's what he's saying. You don't know what it's like growing up on the streets of Denver. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello.
The street. I've been to Denver, Colorado. Please.
Right. And
that ain't a ghetto.
You know, it gets to a point where you apologize too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it rings hollow when you're going on this big tour. Yeah.
And just when I thought it could get no better, the classic Larry King moment when after an hour of Dwayne talking about the N-word, he says, "Happy birthday, Billy Graham."
I remember that part, too. Larry dressed as Simon Bar Sinister.
Oh, another one. Another great one we're going to hear from Dog the Bounty Hunter. Yes. Another was proclamations last night. I'm not going to cuss. I've not cussed for 5 days. Look at the TV going, 5 whole days. It's, you know, now when I hear someone use the F word, I think, was that what I sounded like?
Oh God!
I mean, seriously, it's funny, great stuff.
And a lot of almost breaking down, not sobbing, but coming very close to it.
Mike, you worry too much,
right?
This guy Dog, he doesn't worry enough. Right?
Well, then I'm going to go to the Marine Corps birthday ball with a fake mullet, a fake blonde mullet, and looks like he still has enough time for tanning, doesn't it?
Why don't you get there tomorrow night dressed like him and just drop the N bomb, and then as all the Marines are coming towards you, go, I didn't know it was a bad word.
Yeah, I'm Dog. I thought it was a Halloween party.
I'm going to be married with the slate.
Oh, yeah, hold on. That's the other thing that he says. Larry King says, so do you want him to marry the girl now? And this Dog the Bounty Hunter says,
I'd kill him if he didn't or something like that.
After everything that we've been through,
right?
After he's put my career through the ringer, he better marry that N-word.
And that really, that really describes the fact that he really gets it now.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Like he has anything to do with that anyway.
He's a new man. It's a great time to be Dog.
Dog.
Be right back. Buzz, stand by. This kind of counts as news. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, Dog's gone wild. Here's Dog.
Here, she's a Mexican, a whore, whatever. It's not because she's black. It's because we use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some heard us say and turned us into the Enquirer magazine. Our career is over. I'm not taking that chance at all. Never in life. Never. Never. If Lisa was dating we would all say F you. And you know that. If Lisa brought a black guy home, yeah. Da-da. And it's not that they're black. It's none of that. It's that we use the word we don't mean you scum without a soul. We don't mean that. But America would think we mean that. And we're not taking a chance on losing everything we got over a racial slur.
The Don and Mike Show.
Who let the dogs out?
They race to the funny. Don and Mike.
Well, I can only pray he goes on another show tonight.
Oh, I think he's going to be making the whole circuit. I think he's going to stop with Larry King.
Yesterday you heard him. We played the tapes of him with Sean Hannity. And because he stepped in it so bad, they tried to fix it by having him go on with the frog.
Right.
That was not good.
And I think he's doing his own thing, right? I'm not sure how much direction he's getting. He seems to be doing this on his own.
I cannot imagine that he's got anyone working in PR for him, telling him to make these moves.
Right.
Here is Dog the Bounty Hunter. We've covered this enough. You heard the tape with his son and the N-word, and he's really sorry, and blah, blah. And now here he is with Larry.
We are in Los Angeles with Dwayne Dog Chapman. How you handling all of this?
I'm still alive.
Other than that,
not very good.
Oh, yeah. Where's that energy we heard in that phone call, Dog?
Right.
Here he is now going to talk about God and his wife and Tony Robbins.
How's your wife handling it?
My wife is very ashamed. I mean, she's, as far as being the big mouth in the family, it's usually Beth. You know, I'm like, usually, honey, slow down. And she's like, you're out of character. I can't believe.
I think he cries.
And today
here.
She said, you have shamed the family.
Yeah,
and I'm I'm very sorry. And she's like, Big Daddy, then prove it. So I've got to prove
it. Mad enough to want to leave you? Or?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I told her.
I saw her outside. She seemed fine.
Right. But I went to her and said, if you ever want to leave and become the Beth Show, now is the time to do it. And she said, I won't leave you.
How angry are you at Tucker? By the way, did you call him or he called you on that?
That day, I...
When does he throw the Tony Robbins in? Is this when he throws Tony Robbins
in? I think it's the open.
Is it in the opening, really? Yeah. Well, all right, let's go past that.
Because you called me last night right after the opening. I saw this when he did this, and it was you had mentioned that he said Tony Robbins.
He's working with Tony Robbins along with his black minister to help
him.
And now here's Dog telling Larry he's not going to cuss anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No more cussing.
And I don't mean to sound...
he's equating the N-word here to like the F word.
Uh-huh. Right.
So just do away with all of them.
And I don't mean to sound why I said it, but I've come a long way. And, Larry, it's tough to be a nobody and then work up to be a somebody. And some of the old things still hang on to you. Unfortunately, my vocabulary. And I know how you are, a very stern man, and I love
stern.
You.
Stern?
I know how you are, yes, sir.
Not stern.
And I'm not trying not to swear. The F word, the A word, the P word, the N word. I'm trying not to use any of those words. Then I won't be accustomed to just letting this stuff fly. I have quit swearing for 4 or 5 days. And
hey, that's like my eating. I'd like to say right now, I have not quit swearing for the last
Good
four
for
or
you.
5 days.
Don't for the quit. Last 4 or 5 days, he stopped swearing.
Now to hear the F word when people use it, it kind of upsets me a little bit in my spirit. I went, oh, what are you saying? And I thought today, you mean when I swore like that, that's what it meant to people?
That's right. You just figured out now. Thank God he just figured out that the N-bomb is bad, and now he knows that the F word's a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
Now he knows.
So what about the girl who he called the N-word? His son's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Will they get married?
I hate to say this about my kids to tell about their girlfriends, but none of my Anglo-Saxon children, boys, have any Anglo-Saxon wives or girlfriends.
They don't.
No, they don't. So nowadays, I can't use it. Back then, I would have said, if you bring someone in, let me explain to them that I may say that, but it doesn't mean that. And because I thought there was such an explanation, there is not.
How are you going to feel if Tucker marries this young lady?
He better marry her.
You want him to marry her?
He better marry her after what we're going through right now. He better marry her.
No, no, no.
He's not getting it.
The cat is saying, after what we're going through, after I have to go on TV and go through this crap, well, he better marry her.
This is the same lady that's suing him, I think.
Still
now.
About him.
All right, now here he is with his black reverend.
Joining us now is Reverend Tim Story, Dog's longtime friend and spiritual advisor. How long have you known each other?
Close to 8 years.
You married him?
I married him and did the premarital counseling and everything.
All right. How did you react when you heard the N-word tape?
I was shocked. I heard it online, and the first thing I thought was, this can't be his voice. They probably made this up. Heard it the second time, said it is his voice, and went straight to the phone and went at it with him. I was really bothered.
But when at it, you criticized it.
Yeah, I'm a black man. And when he said it, it really pierced my heart. I'd never heard him say anything like that. And I thought it was strong. And, we went at it for a good 30 minutes.
That guy should be ashamed to be black. Seriously. I mean, I understand that even if Hitler went on trial, someone would represent him. I know someone has to represent Dog. I know that he's got a black guy to stand up there, but please. I mean, God, you just look so weak. Yeah. The priest or the minister, the reverend, looks so weak. You know, I've never heard him say that word before.
Mm-hmm.
It pierced me. I couldn't picture it. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. Listen to this. You mean in 8 years you never heard this guy come out?
Who let the dogs out?
Hold on, where'd that are?
Wrong dog.
You already put it away.
Well, yeah, because you had to put the other one in.
Ah, never mind. All right. Here he is with his son, Chris. And he asked the son, Chris, did you ever use the N-word?
This is so marvelously awkward.
Here we go.
Chris, have you ever used the N-word?
A few times out of the people I can hang out with in Denver, where I'm from, yes, I have used as a racial, like, back and forth brother, between brother.
Well done.
Yeah, well handled. Don't you think that maybe the media blitz could have waited maybe a month? You know, maybe you get your life together and you kind of go underground. He's looking for the quick fix in situations like this. I think it's been
ain't
proven.
Gonna happen.
The quick fix doesn't happen. He ought to, you know, because right now there's potential that he's going to screw up again.
I know this for a fact. The quick fix never involves bringing out a son who, instead of saying yes, says yup.
Yup.
This is not part of the fix.
Oh, for goodness sakes!
You love that song.
Other than that, not very good. I've been here several times sitting in front of you. Tonight I felt like I was coming to the electric chair.
Really?
I'm sorry to tell you personally. First of all, I'm very sorry. I know you had also a lot of faith in me. I'm very sorry for using that word. Please don't think any less of me, and I'm going...
Was he apologizing to Larry King?
The quick fix doesn't involve apologizing to Larry King.
All right, you're talking about a few miscues here. I mean, the miscues is when he says he better marry her. Well, first of all, dog, that's really not your call.
Right.
And what I read, I believe the lady is suing him that he was talking about.
Yes.
And here's another miscue. Larry being the moral authority for America? No, Larry's got a TV show. So Larry's not the moral authority. You can look in his background, too. There's too much going. It's happening too fast.
To fix it.
All right, let's discuss it. What's in your head right now?
A way to fix this and where it would never happen again, and that, you know, how sorry I really am to say that, and try not to use any excuses why I would have said it, but to never say it again.
How do you fix it?
Well, I'll continue doing the things I've done, working with, you know, interracial people, and I just have to... I have some classes I have to go to, and I need to.
He's going to meet with interracial people. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw out Tony Robbins here, and he's also going to, I believe, if I heard it correctly, throw out Al Sharpton's sister.
Oh, okay.
He's met with her as well.
I didn't know he had a sister.
Get a greater vocabulary than what I have, obviously.
It's Alice. Alice Sharpton. Alan Alice. The Sharptons.
The Sharpton.
Honey. Oh, my goodness. It's the Sharptons.
The Sharptons are here.
And when I get mad and my brain searches for a word, I have to find different words. And to do that, you have to have more of an education.
Hold on, you gotta hear that. When he wants to use the N-word now, his brain's going to have to search for another word.
Search for a different word.
To find different words. And to do that, you have to have more of an education.
So it's a vocabulary, dog, that you've had all your life?
Yeah, you know, I've probably used and had that kind of vocabulary my whole life, yes.
So you've had, would you say, a limited vocabulary due to not a great education?
Well, if I could, I graduated from the seventh grade, you know. I mean, I...
Oh, dog.
You know,
maybe
you wouldn't want to mention that.
No.
That you only mentioned the seventh grade.
Yeah.
But he graduated.
Well, he's doing the whole tough upbringing thing.
Dropped out of school, and I don't want to blame it on that. I know right from wrong. I'm not that kind of guy. I knew I probably shouldn't have never used that, but I thought I was cool enough to be able to use that.
Is it more
contradictions? And double negatives, but I mean, yeah, we're nitpicking now.
More
you know?
Contradictions.
Though. Shouldn't never.
But to blame it on ignorance and unlearn it, that's not, no.
It's tough to hear, but let's listen to a segment of the tape phone call that landed you in this world of hurt. This is courtesy of the National Enquirer, which, by the way, made the tape public.
This world of hate. Enquirer.
All right, hold on. Two more.
Ah, cut here. What's going on here?
What's in your head?
Here's Dog now wishing he had a time machine.
Yes.
And for anyone who's a fan of this show, you know those are magic words. Time machine!
Come on, Dog.
How do you feel about it, Dog?
I wish this would have never happened. I would pray to God if there was a time machine I could stop this.
Time machine.
Quot not, quot not, quot not.
I tell you what. Dear Jesus. Will you please send me a time machine?
Send a time machine to me right now so I won't have to say that word on the tape.
My brain is searching for a time machine.
Help me.
All right, and then here's the closing. I know we got a break. Here's the closing. You just got to hear this when Larry throws in the happy birthday, Billy Graham.
Out of nowhere, like Larry does.
Are you surprised, at least at this show, and 60,000, that's a lot of people, 82% don't want him off the air?
I think it's amazing, and I think it's a display of mercy. And, you know, we've all...
Display of stupidity.
And I think America is saying, at least he owned up, he manned up to it.
Please.
And he's willing to change, and he did change. I'm proud of him.
There is a second act. How do you feel about it, Dog?
I wish this would have never happened. I would pray to God if there was a time machine I could stop this.
Second time he mentioned time machine.
Time machine!
Quot not.
I thought I'd quit making bad mistakes.
Proposed a good one.
I'm very sorry.
But how do you feel about this reaction tonight?
Sorry. Well, I feel good. I wish that we weren't sitting here having this kind of vote. I'd rather have who show do you like best on A&E, you know? But I'm very proud that people are forgiving me. You know, I have a struggle, I tell you honestly, in my mind.
He also mentioned again that he would kill himself.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a bad guy, you know, that
if
lived.
People would not forgive him.
I had today, like, all this I've done, nobody really forgives. It's all a bunch of bull. You're the second chance guy. You ain't getting no chance. And I'm, like, trying to tell myself and be positive. Yes, you are. That, you know, there is good. So I'm proud of how it's coming out.
You were the number one show on A&E, right?
Yes, sir, I was.
If memory serves me correct.
Yes, sir.
Good luck, Doug.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Wait for it,
meeting you. Dwayne Dog Chapman and Reverend Tim Story. Before we end tonight, we want to say happy birthday to a great man and a good friend of this show, Billy Graham.
That's it. Throw that birthday greeting for Billy Graham in, Larry.
Nice fit. Thank you, Larry.
That's maybe the best.
Oh, ever. It's a weird little planet we live in.
You know, that's almost like, you know, you get yourself a nice cool gun. We'll be back with Phyllis Diller in your calls.
Hey, I'm sorry, Larry. I shouldn't have said we live in the planet. We live on it. Thank you, Larry.
To see George Washington.
Billy Graham, happy birthday.
Buzz.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
We'll get to more news when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Gay sex, whoa.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They are bananas. Don and Mike.
DonandMikeWebsite.com. Check it out. It's there all the time. And the holidays coming up. Should mention our store is open. We hardly ever mention that.
It's true.
We sell crap on the web.
Yeah, and it's good crap, too. The best
so go
crap.
Buy some of our crap. Now here's Buzz. Hi there, Buzz. Excuse me. JR.
Yeah.
Buy the Don and Mike Jenkum kit.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's just a jar.
That's all.
Just a jar.
And a balloon.
You make the rest.
The war on terror is a priority, even if we have to assign FBI agents to watch falafel sales.
Hey, where's your BBC now, Buzz?
What do you want to know about it?
I'm going back to the pooping number one that we never really got.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from the BBC today, right?
The BBC report filed by Ishbel Matheson on July 30th, 1999 for BBC News entitled Africa Children High on Sewage.
Isn't Ishbel the guy they fired for lying?
No, it isn't.
Oh, I'm thinking of another Ishbel.
Nobody knows, he writes, exactly where the idea for making Jenkum came from, but it's been used by street children in Lusaka for at least 2 years.
Well, Buzz, you could just be reading something off Wikipedia. I mean, where's the BBC to tell us that this is a true story?
Uh-huh. They're over in England.
Well, tomorrow get us a bureau chief.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay.
I like it when Buzz just says, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh. Johnny Ringo. Uh-huh. All right, Buzz, I'm sorry. What were we speaking about?
FBI agents watching falafel sales.
Falafel.
A just leaked FBI memo says agents from the San Francisco office checked grocery store records in 05 and 06 to see who bought Middle Eastern foods like falafel, hummus, and shaved lamb.
The hope was it would lead them to a terrorist cell or two. The agents looked for an uptick in falafel sales at San Francisco area grocery stores.
That's what you should call Barbie Britt.
Which?
Barbara Britt. Her nickname was Shaved Lamb.
Shaved Lamb. Yes.
Right. Shaved Lamb.
Get out of the limo.
They thought perhaps the uptick in falafel sales would indicate that new terrorists had come to town. The counter-terrorism officials who dreamed this up were later scolded by their superior, and the falafel watch has been stopped. Still, the FBI believes that about 100 Hamas and Hezbollah folk are here in the U.S.
That's Hamas, not hummus.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Eating their falafels.
Right.
And finally, in western Wisconsin, an attractive 29-year-old female teacher is in serious trouble for banging a 13-year-old male student.
Oh!
And not just any male student, the former boyfriend of her 13-year-old daughter.
Oh. Ah, what glorious goo.
In Leesburg, Florida, one teenage boy is accused of beating another in the head with an axe, both sides of the axe, the blunt one and the sharp one. Amazingly, the victim is in stable condition. Meanwhile, 17-year-old Dane Simons has turned himself in on charges of attempted murder. Dane says he attacked Jody Ross after he found out that the 19-year-old was dating his mom. I'm
Mommy Boobies.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! No! Yeah. On that happy note, we're out of here.
Uh-huh.
We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode.
I like it when you finish with a song like this. Man, that gets me in the mood, baby.
I'm best to your friend Reggie, Mike.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to see Reggie right now.
Tom Peter North said hi.
Amen.
And we'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you over there, Johnny Ringo.
Good day to you, sir.
Ed.
I'd like to, if I may, close with a Christmas wish.
Yes, kid.
I know it's early, but for all CBS employees, 10% off. DVDs excluded.
Yippee.
See you tomorrow.
This is the Don and Mike Show.